3, 2.
Good morning and welcome to the November 13th meeting of the DRB. I'm going to turn over to Michael Belush to get the meeting going.
Sure. Thank you, Sarah. Just for everybody's information, we do have five members present today. We do have a short board. Mr. Sam Sheldon and Mr. Scott Diffenderfer will not be in attendance today. The remaining five members are present. We will lose quorum for variances at 1 o'clock, so we're going to try to move through the agenda as fast as we can and get through all the applications, at least with variances, by 1 o'clock. With that, I'll turn it over to Ferocia, who can let members of the public know how they may participate in today's proceedings.
Good morning, everyone. Today's meeting of the Design Review Board has been scheduled in a hybrid format, with a quorum of the board physically present at the Miami Beach Convention Center, and applicants, staff, and members of the public appearing either in person or virtually via the Zoom platform webinar. In order to participate in today's meeting, those wishing to participate via the Zoom platform webinar may dial 888-475-4499, which is toll-free, or enter the webinar ID, which is 822-7394-1924, or log in into the Zoom app and enter the webinar ID, which again is 822-7394-1924. Any individual wishing to speak on an item must click the raise hand icon if they are using the Zoom app, or dial *9 if they are participating by phone. Now, before I swear in those that are testifying, I'm going to read into the record the city's notice regarding lobbyist registration. If you are appearing on behalf of a business, a corporation, or another person, you must register as a lobbyist with the city clerk's office. If you haven't registered yet, you should register before you speak to the board. That includes architects, attorneys, or employees representing an applicant or an objector. You do not have to register as a lobbyist in three circumstances. 1, if you are speaking only on behalf of yourself and not any other party. 2, if you are testifying as an expert witness, providing only scientific, technical, or other specialized information or testimony in a public meeting. 3, if you are appearing as a representative of a neighborhood association without any compensation or reimbursement for your appearance to express support or opposition to any item. That said, expert witnesses and representatives of neighborhood associations shall, prior to appearing, disclose in writing to the city clerk their name, address, and the principal on whose behalf they are communicating. Those rules apply whether you are appearing in favor of or against an item, or encouraging or arguing against its passage, defeat, modification, or continuance. Now, I would like to swear those in who will be testifying before the board. If you're physically present, please stand and raise your right hand. Virtual speakers will need to be sworn in one by one at the time of their presentation. Do you swear or affirm that the testimony that you'll be giving in this proceeding is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Okay. Thank you.
With that, we can move to approval of the minutes. I did pass around the minutes from the last meeting in October, so if I can get a motion to approve those minutes. Do I have a second?
Motion to approve the minutes.
Thank you. Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. With that, we do have a couple requests for continuances. The first is DRB 23-0943. For 300 West 40th Street. The applicant was not able to submit revised plans in time for today's meeting. The board may remember this last came before you in September, and due to concerns was continued till date certain of today. The applicant's working on the revised plans and anticipates submitting for the December meeting. I don't see the applicant here. Is there anybody online or in the audience who wants to speak on the request for a continuance only for DRB 23-0943? For 300 West 40th Street.
Hi, Michael Larkin, 200 South Biscayne Boulevard, representing the applicant. We would appreciate a continuance to the December hearing date because we weren't able to get our act together. So sorry about that.
Glad I see no other public comment. So if I can get a motion to continue this application to the December 11th meeting. Motion made by Mr. Comas, seconded.
Second.
By Ms. Buttacavoli. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
That motion passes 5-0.
Thank you all.
Our next application for a continuance is DRB 20-0593, 1915 Normandy Drive. The applicant is requesting a continuance again to the December 11th meeting. This is due to some technicalities with their application fees, so we have not been able to place this item on the agenda for action yet. So the board could take no other action except to continue it. Is there any members of the public present or online who wants to speak on this application for continuance? Seeing none, can I get a motion to continue this to the December 11th meeting?
Motion to continue.
Motion made by Mr. Comas.
Second.
Seconded by Ms. Boracavoli. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries 5-0. With that, we'll move on to our first application, which is previously continued applications. Giselle, can you read that into the record?
The first item on the agenda is DRB 23-0938, 2075 North Bay Road. An application has been filed requesting design review approval for the construction of a new two-story residence with an understory, including one or more waivers to replace an existing home.
And the board may remember that on September 5th of this year, the board approved the design of the house, but due to concerns with the landscape plan was continued to a date certain of today. Since then, the applicant has revised the landscape plans that is now more responsive to the architecture of the home, and staff is supportive of the application, is recommending approval of the landscape plan. With that, I believe we have the applicant participating via Zoom.
Just before we move forward, I would just like to clarify whether the board has received any ex parte communications in regards to this case. All right, please proceed.
Hello, good morning. My name is Petar Stratensky. I'm a landscape architect of Strata Landscape Architecture, and I'm going to walk you through a revised set of plans for 2075 North Bay Road. Architects is also present on the call. If you have any questions, you can let us know. Hello?
We're uploading the presentation.
Okay.
I just looked on the screen. Yes, Peter, if you can go through the plans and let us know when you want to advance the slide.
Okay. If we're going to go to the next slide, please. We uploaded some photos of the existing conditions, so you can see on southwest corner and southeast corner, we have a large Ficus benjamina hedge on the neighboring properties, which we're going to try to keep undisturbed, and we're not going to try to cover those areas. On the northwest corner, we have some clusia hedge, and along north property line, we have podocarpus hedge on the neighboring side of the property. Next slide, please. So on this property, we have on northeast corner, we have a cluster of coconut palms, which we're proposing for removal because none of them are suitable for relocation. And on the southeast corner, we have invasive Brazilian pepper tree that we are proposing for removal as well. There's a coconut palm on the street within a swale, which is not really suitable for relocation, so we are proposing removal of that tree as well. Next slide, please. So starting at the street, one of the comments was in the previous review that street trees were not suitable. We had a silver buttonwood, and one of the comments was that that tree was too small, having in mind that we don't have any overhead power lines along the street. So we changed that to a green buttonwood tree. So we have three green buttonwood trees along the street. Also, at the front of the property, we had some bougainvillea along both sides. That was also one of the comments, which we changed to Clusia roseanana, which is a smaller native shrub that would be more suitable for that area. Added more variety of the planting in front of the property, in front of the house. Also, in the back of the stairs, we added some shade-loving lady palms. Along the north property line, we decided to go with fishtail palm, which gives like a tropical look to a property. And in the back of the property, we added Brazilian beauty leaf trees with some sable palms for added privacy, because one of the comments from neighbors during the last review was that they wanted to have a lot of privacy from this property. Underneath the stairs and underneath the house, we decided to go with some cast iron plant and some pothos vines, some shade-loving plants, some philodendrons, and some Diefenbachias. And on the south property line, we decided to go with lady palms, so we wouldn't obstruct the existing Ficus benjamina hedge. In the gap between that hedge on the south property line at the front of the property, on the south side of the driveway, we added some silver buttonwood with native sable palms, so we can kind of block off that portion of that gap between the benjamina hedge. So that's pretty much it. If you guys have any questions and if you need any more details, let me know.
Thank you. Does that conclude your presentation?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. And nobody on the, I guess because we're just reviewing the landscape plan, nobody else in your, the applicant team needs or wants to speak?
No.
Okay. Really. Just checking. Okay. Thank you so much. Are there any members of the public wishing to comment?
We do have one person with their hand raised. They put their hand down, so I think we're okay. The board wants to actually hear the back again. Hold on a second. Jose Sanchez, did you want to speak on the application?
Yes. Can you hear me?
And you're speaking as the architect, correct?
Yes, Jose Sanchez, Praxis Architecture. There was one comment about the design in the front that I would like to address, and it was about the to study the introduction of circular geometry in the front stair, and you can go to the last image in the presentation material. And I just would like to mention that we look at it together with the owner, but we have a restriction of about the height of that front stair. It cannot only encroach 7.5 feet and has a maximum height. So we're basically tied with the L-shaped stair, and we felt that just providing a curve at the landing would be a small gesture, and not it wouldn't be a sculptural circular stair. So after starting, we think that would be better just remaining at a 90 degrees as an L-shaped stair. That's all.
Is there an image in the presentation that
yes,
it's sort of hard to follow? Yeah.
Yes.
Can you tell us what page?
It's probably it's A2, after A2.3. Let me check the number. Is it the number?
Okay, page 7 in the presentation?
Yes. Further down. It's two more down, another one.
I think it's page 10.
Okay, there. So those are the limits, that the envelope that we can encroach past the 30-foot setback with the stair. So the options were very limited. It was basically just to add a curve at the landing then.
Michael, can you, it's sort of hard to, I'm sorry, but it's hard to read this.
I think what you're saying, Jose, is you don't want to put the curve, you don't want to put any curved elements at the entry, correct?
Right. The only option that we have for the curve is curving the landing. We cannot change the stair as a sculptural stair. So in discussion with the owner, we felt that it was just like a minor curve and not an important element of the composition, so it was better to leave it as is.
Because it encroached upon the property line?
Yes, because for us to do any other type of stair, we would be encroaching into the property line. We're really at the limit.
You'd be encroaching into the front setback.
Into the front setback, into the allowed encroachments for stairs, which is a height of 6 feet, right? And a projection of 7.5 feet maximum. We cannot pass that imaginary plane.
Okay, thank you for clarifying that. I was a little confused by the drawing when I saw it. Thank you.
With that, we do not have any public commenters in the audience or online.
I'd now like to close the public portion of the presentation and open it up to the board for review. Orlando, do you want to start?
I have not been able to open the plan. The only two things that I noticed...
Orlando, is your mic on?
Yeah. The only two things that I noticed were how far are the sable palms from the wall?
Peter, are you back online?
Yes, I'm here. Sable palms, I would say, I'll give you the right number right now. 5.5 feet.
From the wall?
Correct. You're talking about the sable palms on the south property line, right?
The ones on the south, yeah.
5.5.
Not from the property line, from the wall.
From the property wall?
You are building a CVS property wall there, right?
Yeah, from the property wall, we have 18 inches.
18 inches. Do you consider that sufficient?
For sable palms, I would say we can shift them maybe a little bit closer, like 18 inches.
I would say that you need to increase that planting bed just a little bit. And okay. What's the elevation of the top of footing of that wall? Or is it on piles?
I don't have that information. Maybe Jose can give you that information.
That would be interesting for you to look at. If it's on piles, no problem. Yeah, I don't think we just saw it. I don't think there's an issue with that. The other thing I noticed was the coconut trees cantilevering over the pool, which could be dangerous.
Okay.
Could you change to another species or?
Yeah, we can change it. Maybe we can switch to hurricane palm. I think that would be more acceptable for that area.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Do any other board members have any comments? Anyone? Good. Mm-hmm. Shauna?
I'm here.
Okay. Would anybody like to make a motion?
I'm I move to approve DRB application 23-0938.
Do you want to include the condition to replace the coconut palms with hurricane palms?
Yes, with the condition to replace the coconut palm with hurricane palms as discussed.
And increase the planting area where the sable palms are.
Friendly amendment.
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Who is the second on that? Sorry. Sarah, thank you.
The next item in the agenda is DRB 23-0945, 1435 Bay Road, 1340 Flamingo Way. An application has been filed requesting design review approval for the construction of a new four-story townhome project, including one or more waivers to replace two existing single-story buildings to be demolished. This was continued on October 11, 2023.
Now, what the board may want to do is, like we did last month, have the architect present both applications together, and then the board can provide comment on both applications, and then if they desire, then the board can approve, you know, one or the other. But I think it'd be good to see both plans in context. With that, if the applicant can come up and give the presentation again for both together, starting with DRB 23-0945 for 1435 Bay Road and 1340 Flamingo Way. And then after that presentation, we'll move into DRB 23-0946 for 1425 Bay Road.
Good morning, Chair, Vice Chair, board members. Happy early Thanksgiving. I'm joined again by the design team, Jose Gaviria and landscape architect Andres Montero. We're happy to bring back this revised version of the plan. We do believe that it's a lighter, fresher, and more sustainable and an improved version overall. So we took your comments. We gave serious consideration, even though we turned around the comments rather quickly, because timing is of the essence with every project and so much so is the case with a small project of this nature. But with that being said, every single change was carefully thought out. Since we left the meeting, we had multiple meetings with the design team and ownership to make sure that we could incorporate as many comments as feasible. So just as a refresher, so I have the application, the presentation split, but I'll kind of talk about it together since they're so similar. As a refresher, these are the sites located on 1435 and 1340 Flamingo Way. That's one of the projects. And the other project is immediately south of that on 1425 Bay Road. I'm going to kind of fly through these because I think that I would rather spend our time talking about the changes that we've made since our last meeting. And just as a quick recap, the two sites are separate. They're governed. One of the sites is governed by a covenant in lieu of unity of title, which will need to be amended. There was a 2016 approval for a much denser project that the board approved back then. And so we need to amend that instrument to reflect the new site plan. And then the other property was developed, although as a sister project, subject to different criteria under the code because the two projects cannot be built as one. I think we discussed that briefly last time. But to incorporate your comments, the gist of what was made was to make sure we eliminated all the busy planters on the facade. We made the color palette much lighter. We expanded, and I'll let Jose talk to you about that, the landscape hedge on the rooftop, so it's very nice. It's kind of sloped so that it gives a nicer feel from the streetscape. We've also visited the landscape and planting selection. We moved things around, so lots of changes have happened, and I'll get through all these elevations, which go back to that detail. But this is what it looked like before. we heard you loud and clear. This color palette was, you know, not appropriate for the area, so we made it a lot, you know, lighter, fresher, more airy, more appropriate for this Miami Beach location, and we think that this is a way more improved version of the project. I personally really like it. So instead of the planters, there's balconies that have been installed. And I think the verticality was another comment, Sarah, that you mentioned, that it wasn't clear whether we were trying to emphasize on horizontality or verticality. So I think that now the planter at the top does a really nice job at unifying the units, while the vertical elements emphasized by the wood do a really good job at separating vertically each unit. This is what it looked like before. This is what it looks like now. And I'm just going to hand it over to Jose. I think he's going to do a much better job explaining what he did.
Well, thank you. Good morning. Since our last meeting last month, we've implemented several changes and refinements to this proposed building. The floor plans have not been touched. The layouts for the... in essence, this is still a six-unit townhouse with a two-car garage on the ground level, living, dining, and kitchen on the first level, bedrooms on the second, and a partially covered area on the third with a study and an open terrace. So these layouts have been sort of like maintained as they were. The changes have been essentially on the facade of the building. One significant adjustment was the removal of all the planters in the second level. There was a bit of discussion we had last month about it, and yes, we concur, it was a bit of a hassle. It was to maintain those planters on the second level. We thought it was better for the building to essentially remove them. But understanding that part of our design intent is to have a very nice incorporation of the greenery into the building, what we did is we revisited the detail up in the open terrace, and we have designed a ledge, a planter ledge, which is marked all through the entire facade, both in Flamingo Way and on Bay Road. Also, we opted to refine the color palette, transitioning into a simpler, wider scheme that complements to... It is more appropriate to this tropical sunshine. We emphasize the presence of the teak color cladding that you see in the facade, and it's going all the way vertically, essentially marking each of the units, the separation between the units as you see in this image or in this image, which is...
That's sorry. Before, yeah.
Yeah, or in this image also, which is facing Bay Road. Additionally, as you can see, from the scheme before, we've deleted the angle walls in the rooftop level, and we kept them more orthogonal. You know, we sort of thought that wasn't working with us. What we really liked is the fact that planter ledge on the uppermost level sort of like sets the tone for the building to begin setting back from the street face. Now, let me show you something. I don't know. Hopefully, you were able to see that in large detail. This is essentially what I was talking about, that we revisited this detail of the planter ledge. What we essentially did is we incorporated a 45-degree angle ledge that extends 44 inches into the facade, into the setback. This ledge not only provides a platform for the plant stems to extend outward, eventually creating a large display of vegetation, but also it's secured. There is a cable railing that protects and allows for easily maintenance from the open terrace. There is a security device, as I say, with a cable railing. This ensures safety and maintenance at all times. I believe these details as you can see, will allow for the stems of those plants to essentially extend over and give us this type of rendition. Let me show you. This is essentially what we want to achieve eventually. There you see both of the projects side by side. The one on the right-hand side is 1425 Bay Road, whereas the one on the left, turning around the corner over to Flamingo Way, is 1435. The architecture is very much similar. The layouts of the floor plans in both of the projects are very much similar in the sense that they share the same type of spaces. There might be some small differences between the layouts, but essentially these are two sister projects, separated by the 10 feet at each case, 10 feet side setback. So all in all, they're 20 feet apart. But the reason why I wanted to show you this image is because it better shows you the way the design intent that we want to achieve with the planters. We removed them from the second floor, but we enhanced the detail of this extended planter over up at the rooftop level. Okay. This is the last image that I want to show. One of the comments that was made here last month was a recommendation of showing both of the projects side by side. So this is a side plan where you can see both of the projects set apart by 20 feet. There are two, in essence, two homeowners different associations. They're separate. There's a line of trees that separate them. Yet there is always the opportunity in that separation to have a gate connecting both of the units. There was this sense of community that was mentioned here that day that we presented. And sure, we would like to see that too, but we have to be clear that being two separate properties, this is going to be something for the future owners to decide. I'd like to give pass now to Andres Montero, our landscape architect.
Good morning, everybody. Good to see you all again. Well, one of the main improvements we made for both projects was to, following your comments about how we retain water inside the property and the spacing for the plant material and all that, I think we are the main improvement was that we had conversations with a civil engineer. And even though his work is still not fully required for this step of the design, he gave us some input. He suggested that we could move the retaining wall to the edge of the property line, that way, and put line drains on, all the hardscape that touches the property line. In this case, would be driveways and walkways to the units. So by doing that, we also gained more room for the plant material. So we were able to increase the size of some of the planters, reduce some of the driveways, and make them all look very similar. There's one in particular on the units to the right on Bay Road where there's an existing tree in the right-of-way. It's a second to the from right to left along the road, and so in that case we have to make the entrance to the two driveways narrower, but then it flares out to the width of the two garages. We also look at the two projects as, like Jose and Vanessa said, that as sister projects. So we try to keep kind of the same language in the landscape with some little touches that are going to make them, slightly different. But we feel like, it has been a good, very good improvement to not just the architecture, but the whole landscape plan and the site plan of the projects.
Okay, I want to make some concluding remarks. So It's very important to emphasize that this project is in a single family block. So although surrounded by more intense and dense uses and appropriate for this location, it's a unique opportunity to embrace the privacy and intimacy that comes with living in this kind of setting. So with that being said, we would like to preserve the intimacy of each project and respect each unit's privacy. Each unit has a private patio that leads to a green space, and both projects have their own green space. That, you know, we want to make sure that the projects are intended to feel, you know, as a modern home where shared spaces are minimal, where only between immediate neighbors we have shared green areas. Now, with that being said, Shauna made a very good comment last meeting, said, why can't we make the green areas common? And, you know, the answer to that is we're not against it. But we do believe that should be a decision to be made by the future homeowners that will be controlling these areas. And we can show in the plans an optional gate between the two projects if that's needed. But I think they connect and converse very well on the streetscape. You know, the entire block is uniformly landscaped. And so the projects connect already. Each unit has its own patio, as I said. The setbacks need to be marked. And so if at a later time, at the will of the residents, the two homeowner associations agree to allow common access, then, as I said, we can show it in the plans as an option. And that gives the option, right? We're not precluded from doing it in the future if the homeowners decide to do so. And we're not necessarily shutting down the access. So I just wanted to say that the green spaces are shared between the immediate residents that are neighbors, and that's supposed to be a premium feature that the owner would like to preserve. And then the other comment that I want to address, just because I want to make sure that you understand, we did think about all the comments provided. There was a comment made about the plunge pools on the roof deck. And ownership has actually received very positive feedback about the plunge pools and other similar projects that they've built and successfully sold. So they would like to retain those pools. But what they are going to do is something that has proven to be successful in one of their other projects, which is to have a pre-engineered fiberglass pool. I'm sure all of you know fiberglass is a very sustainable and durable material. It's created from millions of interwoven glass threads covered with polyester resin, and it's incredibly sturdy. Bathtubs are generally, you know, found in this material, sinks, tubs, and the like. So that will prevent the likelihood of having any leakage in the future. So that's what we are going to propose for this project. And I hope that answers all of the comments. With that being said, I would like to reserve some time to answer and address any other comments that may come up.
Okay, thank you very much. So should we also look at this next one and then comment? I mean, these are big projects. I wonder if it would be easier to address each one.
Well, I think with the last rendering, you've seen them both together. They're very similar. So I think the last rendering is a good maybe stopping point to bring up the discussion. And then we can continue with the one that they just gave the presentation for, provide comments, and if you want to approve it, you can, and then move on to the next one, because the comments will apply to pretty much both.
Yeah, the same changes have been made to both projects, landscaping, color, planters, facade materials, and driveway configuration. As you may recall, there was this odd configuration where two of the units were sharing a driveway, so we fixed that because of the irrigation plan that allowed us for more room to you know, rework that configuration and layout. So the two projects have been simultaneously addressed. Unless you have any particular comments that are different, I think that we've covered both projects.
Thanks. I think with that, is there anybody in the public who wants to speak on this application? Anybody online? Seeing none, there's no public comment online, so if the board wants to close the public comment.
I'm going to close the public portion of the presentation and open up to the board for comment. Who would like to start? Shauna?
Can I just ask a couple questions for clarification? First of all, thank you guys for, you know, the hard work in between last meeting and this meeting. On the boards, material boards page, it gets really blurry and I can't really read. So can you actually clarify for us the intended material for the EPE-like
wood?
Wood, yeah, if it is wood. And then can we go ahead and ask questions about both projects? So it's brown on this one, the other one yes. It's gray, and maybe can you just explain what those actual materials are? It's my
sure.
first question.
Sure. The intended material is wood slats in the case of 1435 Bay Road and Flamingo. It's a teak color wood slats, natural wood, applied to those walls that mark the entry to each of the units, and they all the way up into the rooftop terrace. Okay. In the other case, in the sister project at 1425, we have the same type of material. The only difference being that that accent color is on a washed out, more grayish kind of tone. You know, it's one of those little things that we do in order to separate one project from the other. Understanding that the architecture is the same and they're very similar, we just wanted to note them with a separate material, you know, a separate color material. It's not the material which is different, it's the color.
So that would be a weathered wood
yes.
or something?
Okay. Yes.
It says in the materials that it's a wood plastic composite.
And we're willing to change that. I know we probably didn't have time at the last revision to change that, because I know we've already had this bit of an issue in a previous project. You're probably going to ask me to have the natural teak or the natural wood. So, yes, I understand that. It's probably my typo. Okay.
Where did you... I can zoom in to where it said that.
It's page 9.
I can't read that.
I just zoomed in. And
mine is super blurry.
Okay. Yeah, no, it's blurry. Yeah. And then to also, I also have another materials question as well. The first floor of both buildings, it seems like it's stucco, or what is that? And it looks white in the renderings,
yes.
But it's listed as gray.
Again, could have been my own mistake in trying to rush with the changes and the revisions. It's intended, as I say, when we revisited the color scheme, we completely understood that gray was out of the question. We wanted to have it a whiter. So it is a white, as you see in the renderings. It's just probably something that we forgot to remove from the to change in that particular sheet. Okay?
It's striated stucco or
like, is it a
or?
Combed? Yeah, stucco.
We have this reveals every four uh-huh. inches, half-inch reveals every 4 inches. They're horizontal. Those only happen in the ground level. Okay, it's just the way to make it different from the wider body of the building as you go up on the first, second, and third. I just believe that those small, minute reveals would add a little bit of a grayish reveal as you see it from a side. Okay, I just thought it was a bit of a nice detail to separate the base from the body of
sure.
the building.
And so to continue to qualify, because now I'm wondering, so the buildings are white.
Yes.
There's no gray.
No gray.
Okay. And so the one on Flamingo Way it's white with the teak.
Yes.
That's and what material is the planter made of?
Aha, good question. The planter, it's supposed to be exposed concrete, okay? But eventually you'll have the stems of the plants themselves covering the entire ledge. So you won't be able to see it from up above. You would only see the underside of that planter. You understand what I'm saying, right? So our intent is to have it fully covered. That's why we have it extending those 44 inches with all the planting material.
Your detail doesn't show that right now, but... I don't want it to seem like we're just picking this apart. I think you guys made some good changes. So I'll just thank you for clarifying the materials, and I do want to make a couple comments. I think that, again, it wasn't an aesthetic, you know, feedback last time about the location of the planters, or I don't think they were functional where they were at, and I think they were going to lead to the deterioration of the building envelope in their location. I do think that it's a positive change, the way that you've consolidated the planters to the top. But I think this detail is critical, and I am looking at your enlarged detail in the section. And I'll let Orlando speak further to that. But right now you do have the concrete floor extending and then sort of a framed condition. And I think that that detail, drainage, water, and what that condition is of the outside of the planter until the plant material grows is critical. You know, I would definitely recommend reviewing that and addressing that detail. In regards to the site plan and the landscape, I do appreciate the comment about you know, letting future owners understand if they want to sort of have this, you know, shared outdoor space. And I think that addresses a comment in regards to social conditions or social equity or pragmatics. But my question also previously for the landscape had stemmed from sort of ecological and climate performance criteria. So I think that the benefit of seeing the site as one, you know, was sort of that social benefit. But really thinking about the ecological and climate criteria. So I'm looking at your landscape page. It's A305. I don't know if we can pull it up. But it has the series of sections that go around the perimeter of the site now. And I do appreciate there being some variance there. So like number 4, which I believe would be the west property line, you know, I think you spoke to this earlier about pulling back that sort of retaining wall and then letting the rest of the yard there be lower where it meets the sidewalk. That's correct. If that's a change. But my question, or I guess my challenge to you as a friendly challenge would be, you know, that space between that retaining wall and the sidewalk, how can we, you know, demand some sort of performance out of the landscape right there, whether that's gathering water, whether it's, you know, being more than just a lawn, and how can it maintain itself in a friendly vernacular way? And then I think number 3 in the yard section, while I understand that that's part of this individual project we're looking at right now and in the future, you know, there may be a gate. I just also wonder, you know, like you guys said, this is an intimate neighborhood, an intimate area where you're sort of consolidating the living, and then it's a rare opportunity to sort of have this open space. But again, like climate-wise and ecologically-wise, what can we demand out of that open space, you know, in terms of a performative landscape? So, again, that's just my friendly challenge to you.
Yeah, on the right-of-way side, I believe is number 4, right?
Yes.
That's facing. Yes. Yeah, we're unfortunately very limited, and not only here, in most cities, by public works. You know, they allow you to do, they ask you to install street trees, and most of the time it's just sod. They don't allow you to intervene further the right of way, and so we feel like we're very limited, and I understand your concern. It's actually my concern as a landscape architect when we want to create a much nicer and attractive right-of-way.
Think it's actually the right-of-way, though. I think it's the corner on the other side of the sidewalk. Mm-hmm. So there's the right-of-way that would be to the west of the sidewalk, and then
the right-of-way is where we have the retaining wall. I mean, that's the property line, the edge of the retaining wall. And yeah, there is a condition here specifically on Bay Road where you have green and the sidewalk. The sidewalk is not at the right-of-way, okay, at the edge. So we ended up with that space. We planted some trees to meet the street tree requirement. But I think we're very limited, again, by public works.
Okay, my last comment, building on the materials, is, yeah, I think the idea of using, you know, a wood and not a plastic element, In a previous meeting, we discussed, maybe on a different project, the thermally modified wood, which behaves like teak or an ipe, but is much more environmentally responsible and friendly.
Thank you. Do you have any other comments about any of the other changes that they made, or we'll get back to it?
Yes.
Yeah.
On A4-05, it's a rendering. You can really see the slope in the not in the driveway, in the landscape areas, where runoff is going to the right away. And you need to create either planters or, but you need to level that grade. You cannot slope and dump the runoff into the sidewalk.
No, we're not.
But that's happening all over.
Well, just to clarify, our property line is the face of the retaining wall.
What retaining wall?
The lower retaining wall that you see. The
that was part of my question. I think the renderings are...
The renderings don't show.
Yeah, you can't...
They're hidden.
There's a preliminary irrigation plan.
Okay, how high are the walls, the retaining walls?
Go to A305 here.
Yeah.
Yes, a retaining wall, and again, you know, we still don't have our civil engineer completely engaged. We have a retaining wall to raise because we have to raise the site. We have to raise the site and make it flat around the inside the property.
So how high is the retaining wall?
It's about 2 feet.
That's very important.
It's going to be anywhere between 12 and 18 inches. Anywhere between 12 and 18 inches.
From the right-of-way grade, existing grade. I mean,
it's 2 feet six.
From the sidewalk.
The drawing, two feet six.
From the sidewalk.
No, the sidewalk is not the edge of the right-of-way. The edge of the right-of-way is in to where the retaining wall, we're showing the retaining wall. It's a weird condition because most places you have the sidewalk against the edge of the property line. But in this case, we have green space, which belongs to the right way. It's public works. So but there's.
If you look at L01, I think it has a very 25? Clear. I think it's
L01.
Yeah, it's page 30.
Okay, so it's 30 inches above. Above the sidewalk.
30 inches above the sidewalk. Yes.
Which is acceptable. Because as long as, because all of these walls are within the triangles of visibility.
Yes.
So 30 inches is acceptable as long as what you plant behind them doesn't go over 30 inches.
Yes. Absolutely. We do have, slender trunk palms and some trees within the side triangles, but they're clear. It's clear from 30 inches to, I believe, 8 feet or 6 feet. But we have clear vision through those side triangles, which we have them at the property line and also at the street. At the sidewalk because of that condition. The sidewalk is not at the edge of the property.
What do you have behind the walls, planting wise?
Inside.
Behind the
Yes.
Yeah. The wall is. On the property line, right?
Yes.
So inside, what do you have?
There are different ground covers, like Green Island ficus. I have...
Wouldn't Green Island ficus go over 30 inches? If the wall is 30 inches?
Well, Green Island ficus, you keep it at, 24 inches. Or it's a ground cover that can be...
Okay, whatever it is, if the wall is 30 inches, and that's your maximum, you cannot plant anything to go over 30 inches?
No.
You are?
No, well, it's a hedge that can be trimmed, and you see it everywhere.
It can be trimmed to flat with the top of the wall?
Yes.
Really?
Yes. But the retaining wall is going to be 30 inches on the street side. I mean, you're going to see the
sidewalk.
Yes.
Okay. It will be 30 inches on the sidewalk.
Yes.
Right?
Well, not the sidewalk. The sidewalk is not against the wall because there's a green space that is part of the right of way.
Okay.
Do you see? Are you seeing there? Yes.
It's pretty difficult to see.
Get the microphone. The sidewalk.
Andres,
bring the microphone. He'll bring one.
Okay. At what elevation is the grade inside the wall?
It slopes up. Slopes up to the
right.
Question.
So
yeah.
A trowel bar, ground cover, 30 inches, you're going over the 30 inches limit.
When that's adjacent to a driveway, right?
Pardon?
When it's adjacent to a driveway,
it's a triangle,
that's what you're.
Visibility.
Yeah. So adjacent to the driveway, you wouldn't be able to plant there, but in other areas.
I mean, yeah, we could add a condition saying that within the visibility triangle, they shall not plant plantings that naturally exceed a height of 30 inches.
Actually, nothing. Nothing, or a wall, or plants,
right.
Or anything.
Nothing that exists.
So if you have a wall at 30 inches, you cannot plant anything inside higher than 30 inches.
But the driveway is starting up higher and then sloping down.
Yeah,
dense.
But then the wall will go straight, and the driveway will go in an angle. Is that right?
Let me try to explain.
It's the only way.
See, the driveway slopes from the elevation of the garage to this point. This is our property line here.
Right.
And
so
where the wall is. And
level.
It continues sloping to, you know, to existing grade here. But our wall sits here. And behind the wall, there's ground cover and whatever it's allowed because of the side triangle, we have shrubs
okay.
that are taller than...
Here's the issue with the side triangles. You have street trees inside the triangles, which cannot be.
Which what?
Street trees.
Yes.
Inside the triangles.
Palms and, yes.
Whatever
trees.
It is.
Yes.
They're inside the triangle?
Yes.
You have trees, which are requirement trees. Also, if you look at the, let me see where, this is the south. Yeah. The tree in the corner, in the south, west corner, inside the, it's a CO1, probably a coco plum or something like that?
A coco loa.
Okay. That tree is inside the triangle.
Yes, but it's clear, it has clear trunk up to.
It doesn't matter.
That's what the definition of the.
This morning I discussed it with planning, and you have two choices. Either you plant them inside the property, if you can't plant them inside the triangle, or you have to make arrangements to plant them in a public area of the city.
Okay. If that is the case, and again, the code says that it's allowed at keeping the clearance of between 30 inches and 8 feet. If that is the case,
that is something else. That is the clearance area between 30
yes.
inches and 8 feet.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
And
that's what we were talking before about the wall and the shrubs.
Okay. If you look at sheet LO3 of any of the projects, if we look at the side triangles, I mean, if that is the case, we would not be allowed to have any street trees along
right.
that. Even the existing trees would have to be removed.
The existing tree can stay.
Okay. Well, so on the project, Bell Road project, 1425, we would end up only with the two existing trees, but no room for anything else.
Where
did
you say?
On 1425 Bay Road project, if that is the case, that we can't plant any trees, even if DOT allows, you know, if you keep the clearance between the ground cover and the canopy.
Yes,
of the tree.
But not inside the triangles.
Okay, so just to have it clear, we should remove all the trees that are inside the triangle. We're going to end up with two trees on the right of way.
Let me ask you, just out of curiosity, that grass rectangle in the rear, why can't you plant there?
Why can't I?
What's the intention for that rectangle?
We want to have a space that it's for, you know, kids to play. It's an open space. It's not that big. It's just you're talking about the other project. Can we go back to the overall master plan?
But can't you plant in the perimeter?
Yes.
And still have the area to play?
Yes.
So maybe some of these trees, you can negotiate with planning and plant in, inside the property.
I understand, but it's a wish of the city to not have street trees because of the side triangles. We're going to end up with two trees along Bay Road, which are existing. It's the only thing that is existing. And on the other project, we would end up only with the three large trees there that you see in the picture.
If I can make a suggestion, existing. I think ultimately this will be reviewed by Public Works.
That's right.
Yeah. Permitting, correct.
Yeah. For that. So I think we can add a condition in here that clearly states that they shall meet the visibility triangle requirements as outlined in the code, and that will be reviewed at time of building permit.
Both in street trees and shrubs.
Correct.
Yes. All landscaping will comply with street visibility triangles, and landscaping will have to be revised accordingly.
I want to say just one small comment, and to Shauna's point, you know, we as landscape architects and developers, and you know, people that care about the city, we're trying to enhance as much as we can the right of way. And we understand there are issues there. And our interpretation of the side triangle is that, yeah, you need to keep a clear vision between those two, you know, 30 inches. It varies depending on the municipality. But at 30 to 6 feet or 8 feet, it's clear vision for people to see pedestrians walking by. But I don't think we should remove the possibility of having trees in the right of way.
That will be discussed with Public Works.
Yeah, it's ultimately determined by Public Works.
Yeah, we don't have anything.
Okay, thank you. Shauna, did you have something else to add?
I just wanted to ask one more question, if that's okay. Going back to the renderings, I think you could choose any of them. Again, I appreciate all of the thoughtful updates and the conversation. Could you talk a little bit about the roofing and the coping and those materials?
Excuse me. Can we show the renderings? Okay. Roofing, we're just going to have a roofing membrane. I mean, I'm
sure. More like the coping. You're showing it as brown and then gray, and so I'm trying to understand what that detail looks like.
Okay. We have that fascia around the edge of the roof, which is actually it's going to extend anywhere between 8 to 12 inches off the roof line, you know. And that's also going to be covered with the same type of wood slats. We're going to apply that same coverage to that fascia around the roofline. We like that detail because it sort of like works well, communicates well with what's going on with the entire facade, you know. And the roofing membrane is just a roofing membrane up in the roof, okay. But we're going to have that, you know, 8 to 12 inches ledge above the roof.
Okay. I just want to say overall that, you know, I appreciate the time and the considerations, and I just I would be in favor. I know there's more conversation, but in improving this, but when we do with certain conditions that we address some of the comments that I've made in regards to the planter, I think the fascia detail is also critical, and then the material.
Now, Michael, irrigation is not required, right?
Yes, irrigation is required, including the right-of-way.
Okay, we don't have an irrigation plan.
Well, that'll be reviewed at building permit. We don't require irrigation plans for DRB.
No, I mean here.
Yeah, no, we don't require DRB.
Okay. But we went ahead and included some preliminary irrigation.
Yeah, because that was, you're just determining the areas that are going to be irrigated.
Yes, I understand. It was not a requirement, but we wanted to show how the irrigation is going to bring. We're going to bring it up to the top floor to irrigate the planters. That was, you know, our part of the schematic design.
Thank you. I'd like to also have a little more discussion about the design. Jason, do you have any comments? Or I made a few notes. Okay. So thank you for your hard work on all of this. I appreciate the fact that you sort of lightened up the palette. It's interesting, there were some design changes that you made. I also appreciate you addressing the pool concern, because that was something that I was wondering why that didn't happen. I do have a neighbor who bought a house with a fiberglass pool, and she complained to me, and granted the pool was a few decades old, but that the fiberglass had started to break down, and they had to have the whole thing replaced, and it was a mess. And so something to think about with fiberglass pools. So I was just wondering, one of the details that I did like from the original one was it was almost like a trellis feature along the roof line that you seem to have taken away. I feel like extending, I don't know if you can look on maybe page 30 of the presentation, the extension, the dividers between the units, they seem a little awkward to me. It's the next one, or page 30. I think I personally like them better when they were more recessed or at least angled backward. I noticed too that on the roof there you also have almost like a triangle point, and having the configuration of the dividers this way, it almost, I don't really understand the relationship anymore between the triangles coming out on the roof, which also indicates the separation of the units, with how this is configured. It used to be a nice, you know, angled line from front to back, and you're sort of losing that detail with this configuration. I don't know if anybody else agrees that the planter, while I really like the idea of having the planter up there, how it's designed, it reminds me a lot of a mansard roof, which I personally think that's never the answer. I like the idea of a planter, but I wonder if just having it a simple slab would be more elegant, perhaps. And I appreciate you answering me. I also had a question about, again, like the overhang above the third floor. I can't help but wonder, and it's hard to see specifically on the renderings for me, considering this faces west, am I correct? Is this view?
No, this is facing north.
Ah, okay. I was going to suggest to make those deeper so that you have some shade from the western sun, but the north is not as much of an issue. Okay, I just went to the other side. That was my concern. I feel like the treatment and the changing of the roof, those were nice details that seem to have been removed, and I wasn't quite sure why.
Yes, you touched base on two specific details, the planters and the walls and the dividers, the wall dividers. We debated in our design team whether one was better than the other. Sure, we used to have the slab edge, and we have the planters in our previous design, and we changed them in order to have a much more profusion of greenery vegetation as seen from the street. You know, we debated because we tended to like both of the details. We weren't really for one or the other. We just thought this one gives us a lot more greenery along the facade once the stems grow, right? You talk about, you mentioned the mansard type of roof. Yeah, there's a slight inclination, you know, but it's going to be nice because it's going to be completely green. We could do one or the other. It doesn't really, for us, we can do one with the other. And yes, I debated personally about that wall, whether to keep the inclination which sort of like goes with the design of the ledge, of the planter ledge, or have a more orthogonal type of vision that we put in this latest renders. We had those two things, those two details. We went back and forth lots of times before we decided on this. We're not fully committed to one or the other. We can go back and forth 100 times, and probably a person like you would see more fit in the previous detail than on this one. But sure, we entertain both of them. We like both of them, and we appreciate your comment. And if necessary, we could certainly
revert back.
Yes. Do the other board members have an opinion?
I forgot to mention about the.
Can you wait a sec?
Sure.
No, that's okay. Go ahead.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Okay. Can you go back to the previous
design? This is previous.
Okay.
Before. After.
Okay. I like the. The planter as you've designed it now, because it will allow more greenery from the street view and from the neighbors that are surrounding, that live in the surrounding area. I agree that, me personally, I like either one of the two walls. I keep on going back and forth of the separation walls. But the greenery, I do like the more greenery showing. On the public works issue with the sight lines of the triangles, I just request that in the future we do make a comment that really planning does not get involved in the sight line landscaping of the entrance and exits of driveways. It's done by public works. And at that same time, I just request in that amendment that we make that they also look at any, and I don't know if there's any utility lines on either Bay Road, I would think they're on Bay Road, not Flamingo, that need to be taken into consideration with any landscaping that's done on the swale.
Yes.
Thank you. Any other comments?
Yeah, I wanted to make sure that when they come for permit, you bring a very well detailed planter section with all the specs, drainage, overflow, irrigation, everything.
Absolutely. That is the most important detail for us. I understand. Waterproofing, two-stage draining, wide enough so the plants can grow. I totally understand and I commit to that. Thank you.
Thank you. Jason, do you have any?
Yeah, I think the angled vertical elements were a better choice, personally. I agree with Sarah that it does kind of still relate to that back angled element that you have, and it does kind of relate to the mansard planter that you've created, for lack of a better term. I think the planter could be really cool. I do like that from across the street, if you're like in a higher building, you look down, you see more horizontal greenery, which is kind of neat. And then when it starts to hang over, you see it more from the street as well, which is really nice. I think the lightening up has done a big service for sure. And I think you could definitely work with staff on the issues of the roof element and the wood there that Shauna had spoke about. But I do feel like there's kind of the vertical wall dividers, for me, they just seem a little strong up there, when it seems like the planter and the way you've angled the railing there is all about kind of maybe making that edge a little bit more delicate. Yes. And so the angle to me was just sort of a softer way to terminate the top of the building. But
I think that was why I liked the trellis roof too. It gave it a sense of a delicacy and something that is a little unexpected. So I think the angled divider and the trellis roof worked well together.
It's we debated heavily on those two things. And at the end of the day, I sometimes went back and thought to myself, wouldn't it be better to have come back with this slanted dividing wall? We can go back to that one.
Okay, thank you. And then, I'm sorry, I'm just trying, we have a really busy day and I'm trying to move this along. The other On the other, on 1425, I noticed that, and maybe it was just a matter of the rendering, that there, and I'm trying to look for the image. Oh, yeah, if you look on page 8 of the 1425 presentation, you see, I was a little bit confused again with the placement of the balconies. It seemed that, and this is along the rear, that maybe the balcony started or stopped in the middle of a window. There, I mean, I had to zoom in on it, but it seems like you have in each unit there's a thin and a, it's hard to read if it's a door or a window, and then there's a double, and the balcony seems to bisect the double window. It was a little unclear.
Yeah, I know what you're looking at. There's a slider that opens up into that balcony.
Right.
On one side, the balcony ends up right into the dividing, and the other one, it's a fixed window, you know. So essentially, if you're, I don't remember if that's a bedroom, but if you're in that bedroom, you have a slider that allows you to walk into the balcony, but the other pane is just a fixed pane, glass, okay?
But the railing hits on a mullion, not in the middle of a glass pane.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely, of course.
Okay.
Okay. Kind of looks a little...
And then on that one.
Sorry, can we hold on that question though? That's a very awkward detail, right? Have you executed that detail before?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure. We have done.
That was my point. It just seems a little, you know, I think it would be maybe less awkward if it didn't end in the middle of the. You know, I mean, I feel like you're trying to get both.
Yes.
You know, you're trying to get a lot out there, but it does look awkward, I think is a good word. I agree. I also wanted to question to the bottom, the treatment here. I was with the stucco and the striated stucco. It just seems to me that the development like this, which I'm assuming you're going for a higher end, to just have striated stucco. It's for me a sort of an odd, it seems like this should be a little bit, the material should be a little bit more luxe, considering the location, I'm sure what these things are going to go for, the type of person that's going to buy it, to just have, you know, something so plain like that was the only other thing that struck me. I'm glad that you lightened it up. But that was my only concern, and it might change, you know, when I'm looking now, if you continue on to page 23 of this, which was the before, you know, again, that shows the roof detail that I personally like. You know, it might have a better maybe relationship of the top floor versus the bottom floor. It just seems that, you know, that needs to be reworked a bit. Now that it's just going to be plain white, it almost seems a little bit too plain. I don't know if anybody else feels similarly or...
Well, I mean, I'm an architect in the city, so I know what we have to work with is often stucco. So I feel your pain, and I appreciate the combing or the the detailing and the finish. You know, I guess, you know, as an architect would think that there might be more of a shared language in terms of the vertical wood, you know, that you've created at the entry and the accent. So it was odd to me that it was horizontal, and which makes it feel like you're just trying to provide change between first floors and upper levels versus if it was vertical or even, you know, shared that same language as your other material verticality, then it becomes sort of a move that unifies your whole building. I mean, that's my comment on the other project as well.
It was vertical before, I think. It looked like you had vertical.
I think the comment that we got at the last meeting was it was neither vertical or horizontal, so we tried to stick to one to clean it up.
I guess it's just not translating into white. You know, it when it was at least a color, while I thought the color was too dark for the context,
sure,
that was a design detail. But now you're just leaving us with a stucco wall that has a little bit. And I don't know if the answer is tile or some other sort of decorative element, but it just seems, I don't know, I was surprised. Again, this is a high-end development to just have that as, you know, to have.
To tell you the truth, if anything would work on that bottom, because we've broken down that color palette into something way simpler and cooler and lighter. If anything would work on that base, would be the same type of material that we've been using going up the building. That means the wood clad around it. I mean, we could certainly entertain that material around it. I don't want to bring in a new type of material that would sort of like, you know, it's going to look weirder, you know, to when we've broken it out and make it more simpler. So if anything, the one that does that trick is the wood cladding that has been, that yeah, it is present in the portals.
And if you had a rain screen application, I mean, we do it all over the city, but it's not good practice to just run stucco into the ground. So, mm-hmm. I mean, I think that would solve a few problems for you guys about the, you know, the lifetime and the longevity of these buildings as well. If you thought about, you know, yeah, that detail of how the material touches the ground and then sort of cohesively addressing it. I also wanted to make a comment on the roof. I think both of your guys' comments are correct. Like, the previous one provided a termination for these walls, and I think that's what it is. It's for me, it's less about, you know, the angle or the straight, but that there was a stronger tie between the relationship of the roof and the wall, whether that does, you know, mean that there's the trellis is brought back or the roof is extended and the walls are angled. I think that was a strong element that, again, looked like there was a cohesive language to the whole buildings that
we were very fond of the trellis in our first scheme, but I felt probably erroneously that it was not well perceived, you know, the last time
around. I would say that of all the things that we didn't like about the last iteration, mm-hmm. for me, that top level was the most successful. So, and that's what you completely changed. I'm also extremely hesitant. There's another building on West Avenue that has been there. I don't know when it was built, but it's tall. It's tall condo. It's on the water. And the concept there was that, you know, you'd have these dangling planters off of all the balconies. And what has happened years later is some of the plants have grown in well, some of them haven't. It's for me, it's really hard to rely upon plants and greenery and vegetation as this very dominant decorative element, because you can't control the upkeep as well. You know, these are three different, I know it's a condominium. You know, ever since I drove by there and noticed it a few weeks ago, I made a mental note to myself to think when these projects come through that greenery, you can't always rely upon it. This building now, it just looks a little run down. It's not, because the vegetation is not growing evenly in all the different places. It's very hard to access to maintain. I'm not saying that this is the case with this, mm-hmm. but that does inform my hesitation to be so reliant on this dangling garden effect. That's where I'm coming from. So I don't know. Again, you know, where does anybody else have any comment? I'm trying to keep moving this along.
Yes, I agree. I think the trellis, maybe we're not clear, but I would agree the trellis does add something to the design that you've brought today.
What I can do is go back on two things. On the inclination of the wall, of the divider walls in the rooftop, going back to our previous scheme, and the trellis. You know, we had this very nice design of the trellis. It was a sort of like a triangular in shape and floor plan. And it has some portions which were kind of like covered and other which were just trellis. We can go back to those two things, and it will certainly come back. That feature will be enhanced in both of the projects. We've done it. We had it. It's my perception was that it was
too much.
As erroneous perception.
Yeah.
You know?
Are there any other comments? Does someone want to make a motion? I mean, it seems to me like there's a lot of details to work through here.
I have a comment, which if you really check, I was looking at the next project. You have sufficient requirement trees that you can use as street trees inside the property, if it comes to that.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
I mean, if the board wants to make a motion, if somebody wants to make a motion to approve, if someone can just, you know, consolidate, I think everybody agreed so far that the angle divider walls at the top are better to go with, adding the trellis at the rooftop.
Michael, excuse me, why don't we do this? I'll make a motion to approve the project with the following stipulations that you're going
well,
to address.
I want to make sure that you guys are agreeing upon that. So
I could take a stab at listing the conditions.
I mean, so for I've heard there's a consensus on the angle dividers at the rooftop, adding the trellis at
well,
the
I
rooftop.
Think it's less about the angle dividers, right, but about the relationship of the roof and the – or how do you want to say that?
Or, yeah, or Sean, if you want to word a condition.
I don't know – I feel like there's a lot that needs to be changed.
Well, somebody should make a motion. Then.
Okay.
Let's just, I mean, we have to, we can't, you know, so we can always say no and then
make another motion.
Go for it. At this point, I think I'm comfortable with approving the project with the stipulations that we've discussed today, and we should list what those stipulations are. But I don't know if your thought was to continue it. I don't think it should. I think it's moved along.
Make the motion.
Okay. I make a motion that we approve the project with the following stipulations.
I'll second the motion.
Oh, wait. I think you're we should list the stipulations.
You're the stipulation
okay.
person.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. okay, so the conditions. I don't need to state public works because that's already going
to happen.
We're
going to add a condition regarding the visibility
okay.
triangle requirements.
I want to make the condition of the materials shown in the renderings being the natural wood materials, thermally modified, ecologically responsible, understanding the detail of the – or developing the detail of the planters sufficiently with drainage and maintenance, et cetera, to the building. That the coping at the roof and that material detailed further. And then also this I would like advice from my colleagues here is continuing those the accent, the wood material down to the first floor on both projects in sort of in a rain screen condition.
And if it helps, we can say to follow the configuration at the rooftop level from the plans dated August 7th, 2023, which are the ones that you had reviewed at the last meeting
with
the trellis and the angled.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Michael, do you...
Vertical treatment.
I'd also like to add a condition. We didn't really talk about this, but I just want to make sure the garage doors, as it's shown here, also, this should be the garage doors... And that it has to be this as shown. And that the palette is similar. You know, I'm a little concerned
with the wide.
Yes, a modern looking
slabs.
Garage
okay.
as opposed to singular
yeah, yeah, yeah.
box.
Yes, okay. absolutely.
Absolutely.
Michael, are there any other
conditions?
We had recommended conditions regarding adding windows to the garage doors. Do you want that or no?
No, we discussed it at the last meeting,
okay,
and
so
we sort
we
of went
that,
with the regular.
We can take that condition out. I think the only question I'm not clear on, though, is the rooftop
and did we
planter.
We wanted to add the wood finish on the ground floor, correct?
Yes, that, yes.
Yes, okay.
My question was on the shape of the rooftop planter. Is that going to continue with the angled pattern, the angled form?
I think, me personally, I like the angle. I think...
motion, so...
Yeah, I would keep it at an angle.
Okay.
Second.
Well, I think Sean already seconded that.
Oh, great. Okay.
So before we do a roll, or before I ask or call the motion, is there anybody not inclined to vote in support of the motion? Okay. So the motion was made by Ms. Barcavoli, seconded by Ms. Meyer, to approve the application with the conditions stated. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Congratulations, that motion passes 5-0.
Thank you all. I'm sure you'll love the project once it's built.
So just to be clarified, that is for, that is only for the DRB 23-0945 for 1435 Bay Road and 1340 Flamingo Way. We need to call up the next application, and the board can, if they desire, approve it with the same conditions or discuss for discussion. So, Giselle, if you can just read into the record the next application.
Sure. The next application is DRB 23-0946, 1425 Bay Road. An application has been filed requesting design review approval for the construction of a new four-story townhome project, including one or more waivers and a front setback variance on a vacant lot.
So just for the record, we need to call and ask if there's any public comment on this application.
Any public comment? No. Closing the public portion. Moving on.
And then to clarify, this application also includes a variance. We do need to have a separate motion if there's a motion for approval on that, and that's a variance for the front setback of 16 feet, where 20 feet is the required setback based upon the shallow depth of the lot. So that, would the applicant like to mention anything more? I think the board saw the presentation.
Just like to incorporate the presentation into the record.
I'll make a motion to approve DRB application 23-0946 with the...
I have a question in regards to one of the guidelines from the last motion that's going to affect this one. What was the specifically about the angled roof? Was it that they have to do the angled planter or that it's going to be explored?
No, the angled planter was part of Myra's motion, so it stays.
Yeah. I just wonder if once they redo the roof line again, if the angled planter, maybe it'll work, maybe it won't. I don't know if it's too late to... Because what if once you do that, the angled, there's too many angles and it doesn't seem right. You know, I want to at least give them the option to do one or the other, not lock it in.
It's up to you guys.
I agree with that, and I think sure. It should be based on, you know, the further detailing and performance of the planter, and then it be reviewed in accordance with the changes at the roof and partition walls.
Yeah,
and then that would be reviewed administratively.
Correct.
Michael,
yes. Okay. You okay with that, Myra? Great.
Yes.
So that's a clarification for the prior condition. We'll include the same thing with this application.
Yeah. Because I think the roof line and the angled partitions is a much more bold, it's just going to have a greater effect, and I wouldn't want to lock in this other detail if once that is applied,
sure,
it doesn't seem to work.
The planter has to be there, but the detailing of it they can address, right?
Right, okay. Right.
Once we incorporate, once we revisit the angle of that wall, it has to come up at the same angle as the planter, so it all looks part of the same thing. You know, so yeah, sure.
And it might end up being too busy, and then you go for something, or the angle is, you know, I just want to give them a little bit of leeway.
Okay, so now we need a motion on the design, again, for 1425 Bay Road, including all the prior conditions of the sister application.
Yeah, I so move.
So motion made by Mr. Agopian, seconded by Mr. Comas. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Congratulations. That passes 5-0.
Thank you all. Happy Thanksgiving.
Wait, sorry. Sorry, I forgot the variance. If I get a motion on the variance.
I move to approve DRB application 230946 for the requested variance.
I have a second.
Second
by Mr. Comas. All in favor on the variance?
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion passes 5-0. Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
With that, Giselle, if you can read into the record the next application.
The next item in the agenda is DRB 23-0928, 600-650 72nd Street, 7116 7134 Carlisle Ave, 7121 Dickens Avenue, and 601-621 71st Street. An application has been filed requesting design review approval for the construction of a new 19-story mixed-use development, including one or more waivers and variances from the minimum required depth for the ground floor habitable space along both 72nd Street and Dickens Avenue. A variance from the minimum required interior side tower setback, a variance from the maximum width of a driveway access on Dickens Avenue, and a variance from the minimum width for a two-way drive. This project is proposed to take place in two phases as a phased development project.
Just to add some additional notes on this application. Last month in October, the board expressed concerns regarding the open nature of the loading zone area, as well as the design of the garage screening. Since that time, the applicant has completely enclosed the garage and the loading area, which we're supportive of. They had noted that there would be a 9-inch flush planter to allow vines to grow up the wall. However, there was no modification of the structure to accommodate that request. So we're requesting, as any part of any approval, if the board approves the application, that the plans be shifted to accommodate that planting area. Regarding the garage screening, the applicant did revise the design. Staff was concerned with that design and felt it was still monumental and was too closely reflective of Art Deco design detailing. So in our staff report, we had recommending that design be continued to a future date. Since that time, the applicant has revised the design further. We're supportive of that revised design. So if the board wants to today and is an acceptance of that revised design, the board can approve that revised garage elevation, which we don't have an objection to. Well, I'll turn it over to the applicant's attorney to highlight the changes and proceed with the application.
Oh, and before we start, I would like to ask the board whether you guys have received any ex parte communications regarding this case. Nope. All right, please proceed. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. Good afternoon, members of the board. Ethan Wasserman with Greenberg Charg, 333 Southeast 2nd Avenue. Here on behalf of the applicant, as you all recall, we made a full presentation at the last DRB meeting. We covered all of the specifics of the variances, the waivers, transportation, as well as driveway location aspects of the project. All of that remains part of the record. However, we were continued, as Michael mentioned, to specifically, I'll say, relook, so to speak, at the ground level conditions as well as the scale of the podium. So today's presentation is limited to those issues, unless there are, of course, any further follow-up questions from the board. So you'll hear from us this morning a couple specific things. We'll discuss the loading area. We'll show you how we enclosed it, how that will protect the neighbor or really further protect the neighbor from sound and visual buffering of the loading area. We'll talk about the resiliency and landscape clarifications that were asked of us at the last presentation. And then, most importantly, how we've broken up the massing into almost three different sections, each with its own focus and design thesis. This design really brings to life well-known local design elements from historical references in the neighborhood, in the nearby neighborhood. But more importantly, in my opinion, I think it effectively shrinks the massing into smaller components, and I think that was a very good suggestion from the board. So let me turn it over to Ray, and then we'll close. But just before I do that, I want to emphasize we're limiting our presentation to what was asked of us to come back from the board. The prior presentation and prior public comment remains part of the record for this application. We would ask that any public comment, of course, be limited to the presentation before you all today. We spent a significant amount of time at the last hearing discussing very important parts of the project, and those remain addressed. Again, as Michael had mentioned, staff is recommending in favor of the project, and based on the clarification we've made, and you'll see this morning, to the design podium, staff is supportive of the project. Thank you.
Okay, can I have the... Okay, perfect. Great. Let me just test this. Excellent. So I'm not going to run through the full presentation, but I just will hit upon some points, and Michael started to say so, but with as it relates to the loading area, it is fully enclosed now, so that's no longer an open-air condition. And we've also are proposing that we would be able to plant the neighbor's side with vines that would with golden creeper vines that would be able to go up the side of the building, of the wall, and create a green wall condition. As it relates to some of the resiliency questions, the project will be LEED Gold, and that is a step higher from LEED Certified and LEED Silver. It's an additional 20 points from just certification, and there are a number of different criteria such as location, sustainable sites, water efficiency, energy and atmosphere, materials and resources, indoor environmental air quality, innovation and regional priority. But beyond the checklist of items for LEED Gold, there are specific design features that we don't really get points for, but I think are appropriate for South Florida. To name a few, the balconies are quite deep on this building. They're 10 feet deep. That prevents 10 feet deep on it, at its shortest size. On the long east-west sides, they're 15 feet deep, which that's the low sun angle. So we prevent direct solar heat gain into the building. It's also promotes outdoor living. I think that just simply from the well certification standpoint, the building itself is promoting the ideas of being able to access outdoor space. As it relates to some of the garage elements, we are significantly reducing energy consumption by having a naturally ventilated garage. You know, we don't have to put mechanical systems to be constantly running and not only cause additional energy consumption, but noise pollution, which I think a lot of us are sensitive to, especially in dense areas. So it will be a LEED Gold project, and generally speaking, this is almost a case study for what is considered to be a LEED ND, a LEED neighborhood development, given that it's a project located in a mixed-use neighborhood with a diverse set of uses and a diverse set of socio-demographic range. So this project will definitely be contributing towards that. And then lastly, as it relates to some of the landscape clarifications, the landscape sheets have been updated to replace the hatches of planting material to specific locations. So you'll see that there. And it has been updated accordingly, and the plans are signed and sealed. So with that in mind, I'd like to jump into some of the design updates. And maybe starting with the overall site plan, I think that I'm just going to point out some very high-level items, that the project spans from 72nd Street down to 71st Street, you know, which is essentially the entire block. And we also have the entire frontage along Carlisle, and we're maintaining the existing building at the corner along 71st Street, the southwest corner on 71st Street. So when we look at this approach, I'm going to skip ahead here. We took a look back at what are some of the examples of MIMO architecture. And I think there are some general principles that we can apply to a project of this type. The first being that there are a lot of very big gestures, monumental gestures in MIMO architecture. We can see that in Temple Menorah. We can see it at the entrance to the Deauville. At the Seacoast Towers, the blue element that is very vertical, even the Fountain Blue with its sweeping curve, and the Eden Rock with these two pillars of color, of tile, that are marking an entrance, and the smokestack item that feels like a cruise ship on top of it where the signage is located. These are all very big gestures of the project. The projects are generally recognized for and create some type of experience. And when we get into some of the details of these projects, we start to see that there are some common treatments, namely the use of breeze block or screening materials, often with some type of framing around them, and they are in tandem with these monumental gestures. Even the example on the upper left side of the page here, that is the entire facade is the breeze block. That is the gesture, and then one little moment of the canopy that shows you where you get into the building, because when you have something that's that long and that's big, you may not know exactly where the entrance is located, so you got to mark it somehow. And next, we started looking at what makes up some of the streetscapes in terms of the detailing. And when you get onto North Beach and this neighborhood, or just Miami Beach in general, you can start to feel just by looking around the scale, the type of architecture, what part of the beach you're on and where you are in the city. I think that a lot of us are very who've lived here for some time are sensitive to that and can pick up on what neighborhood you're in just by what buildings you're noticing and what details are there. So we really like some of the scalloping details, and it's used throughout Miami Beach, but we see it a lot in this neighborhood. And that starts to define some of the retail. And even when we look at the individual buildings, you know, these start to get more into deco, and the patterns are more of a MIMO identification. But it gets mixed, you know, especially with Ocean Terrace once we get into this neighborhood. And so I would say that the three big elements that we wanted to focus on are the large gesture, the screening materials, and the breeze block that are implemented, and then the stucco detail work. And I especially like, you know, the use of the corner conditions how when we get a corner, it's often rounded in some way, Mayan Beach. You know, it's we often think of buildings as having orthogonal boxy edges, but here in Mayan Beach, we get some opportunities for rounded corners. So this is coming through a bit blurry. Okay, yeah, there we go. So this is just a general elevation, but it's broken down into three parts. From the 71st Street side, you'll see that there's a three-story looking building that has one distinct treatment. We have one large gesture that becomes the garage screening element, and then that basically transforms into the tower element, which is another gesture separate from the garage and the 71st Street side. So starting with that corner where the tower emerges and the garage screen comes together, we broke up the 72nd Street facade to highlight the entrance to the residential lobby. And that becomes essentially a break in the 10-foot and 15-foot deep terraces. And we've added a wood ceiling detail of engineered wood to warm up that space for the lower floors. But this was also an opportunity that because the lobby was so close to the corner, we were able to create this almost peninsula-like gesture as part of the form of the building off of this corner. Moving to the left of that, you'll see the garage screen. And what we've done here is take a little bit of a different approach on the breeze block. That we love the breeze block, but the module of the breeze block itself is quite small, and it's small in an intentional way because it's meant for a construction worker with two hands to be able to pick up the block and a second construction worker with the mortar to be able to work in tandem and in pairs as they put that together. But here, we felt that we wanted to do something that was a little bit more contemporary, but expanded upon that idea of creating this open screen element. So we took the overall theme of the project, which is rounded edges, rounded curves, and these bigger curvature items, and broke it down into a series of semicircles that are of different radii. Some are larger, some are smaller, and it creates this almost weave pattern or this like texture that is embedded in another curve that has a belly to it that sweeps up and down, highlighting that corner and also separating the form of it from what's happening on 71st Street. So then jumping to the 71st Street side, you'll see that over the garage entrance, we've created a large planter which mimics that form happening on 72nd Street. And below it, you'll start to see some of the textures. We'll get to that in a moment. But 71st Street has a completely different look from the rest of the building. We felt that this was an opportunity to create essentially a little infill-looking building that is part of this overall project. And we love that scalloping detail that we saw earlier in some of the examples. So we took it one step further. And instead of having it so regularized as a pattern, we gave it three different curve depths and different concave depths. And are building this out of metal panels so that it has a bit of a shiny effect to it, still in the MIMO language, but carrying it into the 21st century of what we can do in terms of means and methods. We've also included a very large strip window. I think that the strip window is something that you often saw in that type of architecture, but making it nearly floor-to-ceiling glass also makes this space quite contemporary, light-filled, and very just usable office and commercial space. And we also have one feature balcony that sits on level 3 that pops out and is reminiscent of what you may have seen in an eyebrow detail of that MIMO architecture. At the ground floor, you see an eyebrow, so there is protection from the elements, and this building is south-facing, and that scalloping is actually projecting about 2 feet off the building, so it does create those little eyebrows that you would also see on this type of architecture, but in a modern way. And then as we wrap the corner and come back to 72nd Street, the retail has been detailed a bit differently. We've kept the eyebrow condition, but added some score line details that are in keeping with the three different module sizes of the curves, but removed the curves. But on the facade, we've added that score line detail. In a way, it feels a bit busy, but I think it also gives it a bit of identity for that ground floor, which is important that when you walk into this neighborhood, you can recognize it instantly. We've also rounded the corners of the retail glass at its edges, so that gives it a relationship to some of the other curvilinear elements in the building. And you'll see here that the balconies above are clad in the engineered wood. So this is a view looking at the residential entrance. So with the longer gesture of the curve, we have the one break that clearly identifies where you're getting into the lobby of the building itself. And then overall, when this comes together, you'll see here, and it's a little bit distant, but the dividers of the building are also curved. And instead of just letting it disappear into the form and the shape of the tower itself, we've given it a white piping that mimics the semicircular gesture and curvilinear form, so that you get that feeling of the garage screen element kind of being lightly carried up into the tower in a subtle way, but at an up close detail, the relationship will be seen. So this is the last view I'll show you, which is from the corner of 71st Street. And it highlights the fact that the building is broken down into different components. There's no element that is it basically shows that we can identify with 71st Street and identify with the park side and bring it all together into one project, but three different elements. So I'll leave the presentation at that, and I'm glad to answer any questions you may have. And just for clarification, the same screening material that is on the garage on the east side occurs on the west side as well. So that decorative element is facing the west side.
That concludes our presentation. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Are there any other members of the public wishing to speak? Is there anybody online? Okay, let's go forward.
Hi, good afternoon. I spoke last time, I don't know if you remember. I own one of the small condos on the adjacent building on the one empty lot that's in between the entire block that's totally surrounded. So I'm just going to go through a few points that have not been discussed or have been, but I just wanted to. So here we go. A little nervous, obviously. So there are two main points, right? There's a legal point, and then there's a personal human aspect point on this project. The legal point, the variance that they're requesting is illegal. It's going to negatively affect the value of my apartment. There's going to be loading docks and trash docks right outside my front door, right? So it's not a regular residential building. We've got retail, restaurants. Things are going to be going in and out all day, maybe all night. Nobody's there going to stop them. And we're going to have vibrations. And they say it's enclosed. Okay, it's enclosed. So is there going to be a smell factor? I mean, is there an air filtration? Is that air filtration going to make noise issues? I don't want from my front door loading docks and trash docks that are 10 feet away. And they say, okay, well, we're going to create a 15-foot wall, right? Prior to that, give me one second. These are the case laws that, by the way, are from Dade County that says this variance is illegal. Miami-Dade versus Brennan, Burger King Corp versus Metropolitan Dade County, Fine versus City of Coral Gables, UN versus Miami, Anon N versus Coral Gables. Those are on point to the issues that I'm dealing with my condo. With that being said, what they're offering with that 9-inch planter is mocking the commission and us. First of all, let's just say, and we'll talk about the good faith of sitting down and having a real discussion on, you know, we weren't contacted by the developers, and I had my attorney call their attorney, Ethan, to see if we could try to talk about doing something. Got no call back. Sorry, I'm going to back up for a second. So just with that 9-inch planter, there's 2 hours of sun there when they put that 15-foot wall up. And I know for a fact from my experience, I've planted over 1,000 plants. And this is not an exaggeration. Palm trees, bromeliads back in the day when they were kind of cool, orchids, ferns, when now I would never do it because of the water issue, but I understand planting. And there is only 2 hours of sun there. It'll take minimally 3 years for that creeping fig to come up to cover the wall, if it's possible, because there's no sun. Plus, how are they going to be able to maintain and put the moss down at the bottom per their plan? There's no way to access it unless they trespass through our property. The other thing is that if you look at the photos that they had showed you, there is grass and greenery there. What happens when we have a downpour of rain? Our site is all concrete. Once you put that wall up, the downpour is going to flood. It's going to flood our building. So that's another major issue. So that variance in itself, when you ask for landscaping, they ask for a creepy fig. We need 3 or 4 feet. And in essence, to put in, let's say, instant gratification landscaping, which would possibly, if you had maybe some type of non-invasive, non-dirty bamboo you could put up there that doesn't need a limited amount of sun, then that could potentially be possible. But without, the reason why they're offering 9 inches is because the plans are not going to work without the 9 inches, and it's illegal. But I want to talk about the human aspect of this. Why do you think these developers that own 4 or 5 city blocks surrounding us doesn't want to buy a sliver in the middle of a whole city block? And when I say not buy, not even come to us to offer us or have a good faith discussion as a neighbor saying, look, we own all these city blocks around us, little 6 units. Could you come to us and have it? Could we sit down and talk, see if we could work something out? But they don't. They have not done that. They haven't, not in good faith. I've went to them over and over saying, can we sit down and can we try to work something out? And they've made me feel and believe that they were interested. But when it came down to a signature, they walked away. And the fact is that will there even be a second phase? I mean, these developers are connected to 4 or 5 buildings that are 50 stories or larger. I mean, we're talking about skyscrapers. And this one is relatively a very small project for them. The second phase is only 60,000 square feet. Would they even spend the time to build that out?
Excuse me, Adam, your time's up. How much longer do you need?
Like 4 or 5 minutes? Four, 30 seconds. Give me 30 seconds.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, and there was other issues. There's been past negotiations with these developers. There was a similar situation on the other block on 69th Street, the address being 6981 Indian Creek Drive.
I'm going to object. That's hearsay testimony. That shouldn't be brought into the record.
Well, there was one building. They bought the whole block, and then they ended up with the offering of legal fare of saying, we're going to sue you, and they ended up selling the building for less than what it was. And this is what I was told by Fernando Romero from 6981 Indian Creek. And this is the photo that she sent. It said, my wife is dying of cancer. Here are the photos. Do you think we could worry about this 3 months later? And all I heard from him was like, I don't want anything to do with these guys. I got rid of the building and I lost my ass off. And that's what he said. Okay. All I want is to sit down and have fair discussions. I know how powerful they are. I know they have, and they are the 1,000-pound lion, and we're 6 little units. Please, can you do what you can to try to protect us and help us?
Thank you so much for your comments. Are there any other?
There's nobody with their hand raised online.
Okay. I'm now going to close the public portion of the presentation and open it up to the board for discussion.
Ethan has a chance to read.
Oh, okay.
If I can respond to just a few. These were the same comments that were
just at them. We're going to lose somebody at one, so I'm going to encourage you to be brief.
I'll be very brief.
Okay, good.
The opponent, the neighbor, is one of the condo board members. He doesn't speak for the condo. That's issue one. Number two, we addressed this last time. He submitted through his attorney into the record his objection. It was a loading objection about noise, sound attenuation, things of that nature. Through staff, we are enclosing the space, but I just want to add that your town center regs has very specific requirements that are stronger, I believe, than anywhere else in the city about air-conditioned trash rooms, rubberized wheels, limited hours of operation. So all of that should be, you know, fresh in your minds in terms of loading. Secondarily, we know what this is. This is an attempt to get my client to purchase his unit. Again, as I stated in the record last time, we've had discussions with him going back from what I've seen as early as April and July, copies of our plans, issues with his association. So all of that, And to say I didn't return a phone call, that's absolutely incorrect. That's a lie. I spoke with his counsel several times. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay. I'm now going to close the public portion and open it up to the board for discussion. Shauna, do you want to start?
Sure. Can I just make also one comment? I want to acknowledge, you know, the testimony we just heard. I don't know, you know, in terms of the DRB, what our power is to do anything. And I'm sure that there's other processes that the, you know, planning and city has in place. And so I'm hoping that maybe as part of our response or wherever it lands today, we can provide advice on the other paths that can be taken. I'm not sure what's in our power for that.
Let me speak to that issue, Shauna. This could take a whole week of discussions between the developer and the property owner. And I don't think that's within the purview of this board. I think the purview and the responsibility of this board is to look at this project. I think the issues brought up by this resident, Adam, and the developer, if they need to at all be addressed by the city, it definitely does not fall on this board. There's a lot of information that we are not privy to, and I am sure just from... You know, because that's just the way things roll sometimes. So I think if we can just stick to the design and what is before us today as a project, I think we then could maybe meet the 1 o'clock deadline. Thank you.
Okay, I'll go. My responses have the best of intentions, and I think that the project that's being presented to us is by probably, you know, one of the best teams that can be put together in Miami and Miami Beach. So with that responsibility comes high expectations. I just fundamentally have an issue when we ask about a climate agenda and, you know, like LEED Gold and LEED Neighborhood Development is brought up because this location is set to succeed, you know, where it is in the city. So, you know, the infrastructure that exists is giving your project great benefits. And I think it's your responsibility to give back to those benefits from public transportation, from walkable communities, and all of the aspects that LEED Indy is developed on, which talks about, you know, equality, diversity, all sorts of neighborhoods, affordability. And I don't think that that's an intention of this project. So I just want to be clear that when I ask about a project at this scale, which is, you know, adjacent to another project at the same scale in this city where there's minimal footprints and minimal opportunity for these projects going forward, that they should be setting the bar for design, for climate understanding, if we want to talk about leadership in energy and leadership in environment, I think that these projects should be doing that. From an urban component, I agree that, you know, you're addressing the public realm, you're offering some public amenities, and I think that's a positive. But I think in terms of really setting the bar in terms of a climate response, I don't think you're meeting that bar. I don't think there's anything that is going to be said today or at a future meeting that really changes, you know, the fundamental agenda. I mean, open air parking, I applaud that. That's great. But we have 6 elevators, you know, serving 6 units, elevators going into each unit. So I think it's sort of a contradiction of agendas where we talk about part of the project and not all of it. Moving on to the design points, I appreciate the, you know, the reflection on the city's context and history and bringing forward sort of the breeze block, the big gesture, and I think the scallop details. I agree that the scallop details could be reinterpreted in a modern application. But before I get into those details, I think that the designs, again, I know it was a quick sort of exploration from our last time meeting to now, feels, you know, maybe incohesive and like intentful, but maybe the intent wasn't reached with their application. I think it's an appropriate exploration to say, you know, what is a breeze block agenda? But I think, you know, in applying it to the garage is appropriate. But are there other moments in the podium or the towers or other places where, you know, cohesively you could develop this agenda? The scalloped metal panels, I think, has a lot of potential. But to me, I'm also concerned that now there's, even though you presented the design as sort of these three distinct moments within the building, that they're sort of competing and different very much in the way that they're applied to the building, even though the building is a series, if you will, of several buildings in an urban block. So I know that the recommendation from staff was approval with review at the pedestal, or I don't know the exact comment, the pedestal design.
It seemed that they had submitted some designs and then changed it. So the presentation is the one that you're giving now is the there.
So that staff comments comment would be removed. Previous. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh. Sorry, I was just going to say that I do think, again, I acknowledge the scallop detail having a performative function. You mentioned that it being, you know, if detailed properly, you said, and it would be out of metal, being able to provide both an overhang and a depth from the facade, so some shading. Also, it could serve as a bit of a parasol, depending on how it's attached back to the building, where it's actually performing to get that direct sun heat gain and, you know, limiting the energy passing through our wall. Those are just my comments. I'm not the board, but those are, I think it's a very big project. I think it's going to be a very successful project, and it is going to make this community better. I don't disagree with any of the scale. I feel like at moments we're not being, you know, completely like truthful with the agenda or serving the agenda to its fullest capabilities.
Thank you. Who else would like to?
Do you want us to respond individually or wait till?
You know, let's, if okay. You don't mind, sure. Keep the discussion going. Thank you, though.
Hi. I think it's an improvement in the landscape from the last time. Although I think it was, in all honesty, it was a little bit rushed due to time and presentation to the board. It's acceptable because it meets code. It looks nice. But I will ask for some improvement. And I think Gio usually does better.
Do you have any recommendations for specifics?
We'll spend some more time and take a look
right.
And tighten
it up. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Orlando, I wanted to know, one of the first things that struck me with their proposal for this creeping fig along the wall, I was concerned about the light. Do you think that that is an effective solution? Is it going to grow? What were your thoughts on?
I personally am not crazy about creeping fig,
mm-hmm.
Especially if it's against stucco, mm-hmm. because it can penetrate.
And what about the fact that there is not going to be, I mean, will it? It seems, it's been my experience that creeping fig takes a long time to really fill in, and it needs direct light.
It will take time.
So is this the right plant for that solution, for what they're proposing?
I think it's the only option in that case.
It is.
We have the condition at our office in Coconut Grove. It's very similar. It's on the south side. There's a building behind it kind of blocking the sun. And actually what you're ending up with is it's reaching toward the top. It is filling in, but it's going to be sparse. It's just the reality of the plan. It's not going to be 100% coverage, but it will break up the facade.
Well, actually, yes. We've had to cut that vine down because in the years that we've had it, it's gotten so large. We've actually replanted it within the past 2 years, and it's already to the top of the building. And it's in a very similar shaded condition because it's reaching up.
I have the same issue, and it took 7 years to grow.
Sir, thank you. So, but Orlando, it seems like from what you're saying that the only planted option is this creeping fig, but there are other non-plant options. Orlando, you have...
Other non-plant options?
Other decorative elements that can be used as opposed to a plant that's going
to
take a long time to mature.
That would be up to them to propose.
As far as plant is concerned, I think that is the only option.
The only. And do you think it will do its job?
It will not cover 100% because of the shade.
Mm-hmm.
But it will soften the look.
Uh-huh. And make it look like something attractive to look out onto from your window.
Somewhat.
Eventually.
Yeah.
Right, because it's a 15-foot wall. Okay. Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
Anybody, Jason, do you
want to? Yeah, sure. I had a couple just questions. I know the distinction now has been made that the loading area is enclosed. So I've kind of, you know, I've had to go back and forth between your two presentations to kind of remind myself a little bit of where things were. So I kind of see the overall layout of everything there or kind of around the existing building in the trash area. It all seems to be kind of in the same place. And by enclosed, we just mean that there's been a roll-up gate that's been put at the entry. Is that the...
Now it's... Roof and wall.
Roof and
so
wall.
Before it was open.
Yeah.
And now it's a wall, roof, and a roll-up door.
So it's completely all contained. Okay.
Correct.
Okay.
The idea originally was to keep breathability and spacing. The suggestion was to enclose it.
Yeah. And I guess that involves a whole other set of ventilation things that have to happen and things that will get worked out during the process of developing the CDs, I guess.
Yeah. We'll carry the ventilation away. We would never ventilate to the interior property side. It would have to go out to a street side or up and away from the property line.
Right. And then to make provisions for the creeping vine or whatever is going to go here, you're moving the wall into your property more to give them space on or the landscaping is on your property but on their side of the wall, I guess.
Am I exactly right? And I just want to confirm for the record, I confirmed with the planning staff that we can actually do that. I had a concern originally, exactly, because
it's
of the variances
tight.
Again, form-based code, I've got a 50-foot habitable depth,
right,
and a 22-foot driveway.
Yeah.
If you push one, you pull the other.
Right.
But planning staff, within the variance request, we have the ability to do that.
Okay. And then that will be your, I guess it will be irrigated. You will irrigate it? Because how does it grow? I guess does it need to be irrigated?
Yes. Irrigate at the bottom.
Yeah, they'll have to irrigate it.
Yeah,
from the bottom.
Okay.
One thing that I would like to bring up is that happened with an earlier case, is the fact that you need to check with Public Works for those street trees that are within the triangles of visibility.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. We heard that. Thank you. We'll do that.
Yeah, and I mean, I thank you for, you know, kind of listening to what our comments were last time. I think the facade treatment is a vast improvement. I hope you guys do, too. I think there's a lot of new interest here. I think particularly the scalloped corner there adjacent to the existing, what is, I guess, now kind of the Navarro that's going to be there for the immediate future. I think that elevation reads really really well. I think that you've really articulated things much more, to me, much more thoughtfully than they were before. So I appreciate that. I think it looks, when I saw it, I go, oh, good, that was, I'm not sure how you kind of got it all done so quickly, because I know to kind of, I don't know if you do these renderings in-house, but probably, I don't know, maybe, but I know it just takes time to kind of get the design.
See the bags under his eyes?
Yeah. I just, so everybody understands, like, these are, it's a Herculean effort to get this kind of work done so quickly. You know, is it the best thing to kind of get in there and get it done quickly? I completely understand why your team wants to get it done and want it to be on the agenda today, because we want to get this thing moving, and there's dollars and cents and developers and all lots of people, lots of moving parts. So I understand that. Thank you for showing kind of the history the inspiration behind what you did and kind of the modern interpretation. I do a lot of retail work in my office, so kind of this side pedestrian experience at the sidewalk, to me, it's very impactful, like the rounded windows and kind of the whimsy of these arches that you're putting into the facade. All those things kind of make sense to me. Like, we see a lot of this kind of whimsy that kind of happens in the design district very successfully. Done by the individual retailers here. It's a self-developed project. So, but to kind of see the different elements and how it's affecting all sides kind of makes sense to me, because you're basically taking what I would say would be more than a city block, really. It is a city block, but it's kind of a really big city block. So I think a lot of this is very successful. The canopy's overhead. I think there's a lot of things I really like about what I see. It's really clear to see where the entries are to the buildings, on which sides, and what's happening. And I think that kind of an experience when you're building an entire block, which is what you're basically doing in two phases. I'm assuming the second phase is going to happen also, hopefully. But it's kind of got four sides, but four really long sides. So I like that you kind of looked at each side and sort of said, well, what's going to happen here and how do we articulate it? I don't mind that there's sort of like, does this belong to this? Like, it doesn't really. Like, the corner where next to Navarro is completely separate from the back side of the project. Like, there's not even a reason why those two things need to kind of really relate. So I'm glad you stripped that previous surround off the building and kind of looked at it a little bit more individually. I think they'll have different personalities for sure. They face different, some sides are more condensed, some are more open. The main strip next to Navarro is really busy. Like, you're going to have the other big building across the street. So I think they need to look different, and that's what I really like about what you did, with this sort of this personality to each part of the building. So I'm happy. I was really happy with what you see. And I was going to ask about that little pop-out balcony. If you, I do see people in the rendering, so you can access it. I couldn't tell actually how you got out there, but somehow you can get out there. It's not just a decorative, I don't know. Well, because they did a lot of things.
Oh, yeah, the glass panel does come down to the slab edge, and it's
okay.
A door there.
Okay, okay.
Yeah. I know that you can see a little scallop just poking up there that shouldn't be there.
I don't know. It's just the rendering, I guess. Okay.
Thank you.
I agree with a lot of what Jason said, and I was really impressed with, you know, it. What I liked about, what first struck me about this was that it was fresh. I think it's very hard to come up with, especially one of these screens for a parking garage that looks completely different and is something we haven't seen. And I really applaud you for doing that and doing that so quickly. I feel like you probably dream of these things. Like, you're just always, you know. So that was great. I think it was much improvement. I really like that the sections do look different. I was thinking, as I was looking at, I think it was the corner of 72nd and maybe Dickens, and how I really like that there's three sort of separate elements, and that the entrance to the condo is very different. I think that is, you know, what makes a sort of urban streetscape more interesting is not to have the same building over and over again, but to have a variation. And I do think that you thought about the pedestrian experience. You know, I know that was something that was discussed extensively last time, and I do think that this does a much better job of what you had. Again, I really appreciate the deep, the overhangs to create shade and just make that so much more comfortable. I have a few questions, a few points struck me, one of which was this balcony. It does sort of look like it flew there and stuck. And I was wondering even what was the, because these are all going to be storefronts. Yeah, this is all going to be retail in these along 71st Street, yes?
That's correct, yeah.
So is the intent that the stores can do stuff outside?
Wait, sorry. The ground floor is retail, but the upper levels are office.
Ah, okay. Okay, so then that's for the private use of, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I was just wondering about the intention of that. The other issue, I do like these, you know, semicircles or half moons or whatever. I was wondering, though, you'd mentioned that these, as they look in the renderings, it looks like it's drawn on or it's some sort of material, even, you know, like a metal band, but you indicated that it's just stucco.
Oh, no. Sorry. The ground floor score lines are stucco. That's right. Are you referencing the ground floor or the garage?
Yes, the ground floor.
Yeah, so that's a reveal in the stucco.
So is that, I mean, I really like that it's so, the line is so prominent. Is that not, but I'm getting the sense that's not really going to be the effect. It's going to be a lot more subtle.
It would be more subtle unless we decided to paint the deep side of the channel a different color, which is possible, and we see that actually a lot in MIMO. Mm-hmm. You know, architecture, that when you get some banding, the bands are often painted differently. So that's possible.
Yeah. I mean, for me, that is a really important design element, that it works you know, that this the form, there's so many curves in all of your details. I thought that was something that was interesting and it was fresh, and it's definitely something that I want to see, that I don't want to be subtle. I want it to be more prominent. I think that this is going to be something that's very memorable. I like Jason's analogy to the design district shops, because it seems like having that feel, especially in this area where we don't really have anything like that. I like a bold gesture, and it seems like that would be something that would be more bold to consider. I also really like how you put on the ceilings of the balconies of the lower part of the pedestal made that wood. I thought that was really nice, and it does distinguish it from the rest of the tower. I like how you treated that you broke it up, and I like that it's not, I mean, it does seem cohesive to me. It seems cohesive enough, but because this is such a huge, you know, it's the whole square block that, you know, it does need to, I'm glad that it's not this monolithic design. That being said, I thought, and, you know, just to explore, one of the things as I was thinking through the presentation and how we were going to address this, I wanted to make sure that we also took a really deep look, the board, at every side, because 72nd Street, you know, 71st Street is even busier than 72nd Street. So I just want to make sure the two-story building or whatever on 71st Street also is not treated as an afterthought, but that it is, you know, well thought out. I like the fluting. I think it's going to be really interesting with the shadows. There might be an opportunity, just throwing it out there, along the, I guess it's the northernmost edge where there's just, you know, a column. Maybe that could be a place where you incorporate. I don't want this building to be too plain. Right, I guess that's what I'm getting at, that maybe you could incorporate a column of the semicircle breeze blocks into it, just maybe to create a little bit of cohesion, a little bit of interest. I don't know if that's something...
For clarification, we're talking about the 71st Street building?
The 71st Street. If you look at page 29, it would be, you know, like the edge of where it's going to hit phase two. Can you bring up... Page 29 and the presentation.
Isn't that just the existing building?
Just in terms of cardinal directions, it's the southwest corner.
Oh, the next page. The next page. Wait, where is it? 29. Oh, sorry. Can you go to 29?
I don't see the page number
on that one.
Oh. There, this one. So along the left side, the edge of the building.
Oh.
Okay, so
I don't know if the rest, the other two design professionals, have an opinion. I wanted to make sure that building, because that's really the most prominent side, isn't going to be just too plain.
Can you clarify? That would be part of phase two, though. Or
no, it would be along this building. Yeah, right where Ray is pointing.
Oh, so the facade.
That's the current Navarro.
No,
down
that,
below. Yeah.
Yeah, that down below. Okay.
That it around.
Hey Ray, can you reach for the mic?
So the panels will be in that location. There is a core in that location, so it has. It's an opportunity for solidity, but the solidity is actually a good thing in this case because it allows us to apply the panels to it. The material will wrap the corner so that it doesn't feel like just a flat surface that just suddenly stops. And the Navarro eventually, I think in our future site plan, I think there's a slight break in the building at that moment.
Yes.
Yeah, we have a 10-foot break so that it will feel like two separate buildings.
Okay.
Does that answer your question?
Yeah, you know, it was just something, like I said, my concern is I didn't want this building, especially in our discussion, I didn't want this elevation to be an afterthought. I wanted it to be treated as seriously as the other and just make sure that we're all looking at it. And, you know, that was my point in bringing it up. I don't know if any of the other board members had any comment, but, you know, I just wanted to make sure. I have to say, you know, I am concerned about this this creeping fig that it doesn't seem like the best solution. And it just seems like something better can be done. It's a bit disappointing. And what
that's something we can, if the direction of the board, you know, our goal was to put a live planting there. It sounds like that's the only option, but I don't know if staff has suggestions, but that's something we can work
you
through.
You could do an alternate material there instead of the vines.
Just as a thought to for cohesiveness, the thing is that it's facing that property, but we could add the ground floor scoring treatment in addition to the vines so that there's when the vines are growing in, you still have something decorative on that side.
Behind it.
Just a thought.
Something. Yeah.
We can agree
something
to that.
A little, yeah. Just be a good neighbor. What else? Oh. Yes. Okay. And maybe you'll address this too. You know, one of the things that we haven't really talked about, I know we talked about the waivers and the variances for the driveways, but we haven't addressed at all the height. And I know you're requesting, that you haven't mentioned this, an additional 200 feet. So that's something that I'd like
20,
us all.
20.
Sorry. 20. Oh, it was 220. Okay, good. 20 feet. So that's something I'd like to come back to, Myra, when you're done.
Oh, go ahead. Address it. No.
I mean, I personally don't see its necessity. I find that the heights of the buildings in this corridor have become very controversial. I don't see there being any benefit to the community. I don't see that the design necessitates it. This just seems like, I don't know. I'm against the height waiver.
So if I...
Well, you know what? If you don't mind, I'd like to continue our discussion.
Sure,
thank
sure.
you.
Yeah, so it's not good being last because I'm going to repeat a lot of what's been said, but just in 2 seconds, I will tell you that I think the floating that was done on the wall on one of the corners, I think that was very nicely done. The fact that each corner is now going to be a different building, I thought was very clever, Ray. And you are Ray, right?
I am.
I mix up. There's only 7 of you or so. I think that was very clever, and I'm not going to get lost if I walk around the block. I'm not going to wonder what building I'm going into because each building is its own design and has its own look. I think the rounded windows and the rounded arches are great. The eyebrows, so that when I walk around, I'm protected from sun and the rain elements. I liked the wood treatment underneath the balconies. I thought that was very clever. I personally like having my own private elevator. I don't have one. I would like to have one sometime in the future. I am sure that this is going to be a high ticket number, and I can't see someone sharing an elevator with the prices of dwellings that are going now in Miami Beach. I think the fig or some sort of creeping vine on that wall will be the right thing to go with. I am a plant lover like Orlando, and if it doesn't make the wall completely green, that's okay. It's okay for it to have some, you know, white in between. But it's nature. It'll bring nature to that whole entryway to that building. And yes, it takes time to grow. All these plants take time to grow. And I think there will be enough irrigation and obviously enough sun, even though it is facing south, that it will grow with the future. I will tell you that I have sat in the park, and the view from the park into this building, this design that you've done, will be fabulous. I have sat at the park during baseball games, and I've asked the other, you smile because you know what I was doing, and you smile with just how, you know, you dream of how it's going to look. And I asked the other parents that were there, I'm the only grandparent, but I asked all the other parents that were there, what do you think of a building, you know, and they all were very favorable and liked the building that's a little bit to the east. I think this is so long in coming, a building like this. I've only been with the city since 1993, living obviously since 63, but or 62, whatever year I came. But I will tell you the amount of money spent by residents for the North Beach area has been horrific. And yet we go to North Beach and we say, why isn't this doing better? We've renovated streets. We've renovated all the parks. We've done new golf courses, street. I think I said this at a previous meeting. And I think projects like this will actually be what will change our North Beach area to make it what it should be. So I commend you for your project.
I don't want to be rude.
I know there must be something wrong if he's agreeing with me. Okay.
I have to leave, so if you guys need me to vote, then I think we should make a motion.
Yes, I think.
Can I just make one comment on record? I agree with a lot of the comments made. You guys are a great team. I think you can always push. Our job is to push you to do better, right? My only concern is when we talk, like when you read Miami luxury, that's a thing. That's what makes us Miami. We're a global city because of it. So let's be that. But don't try to pretend something that we're not. When you read the walkable neighborhood, these amenities, those are a bonus, but maybe there are other ways that we can dig further and push deeper, knowing that we're trying to meet that luxury level. That's the point I'm trying to make. But I make a motion. I don't know. I haven't made a motion.
We need to have there's two motions. First for the design, which requires four votes in favor, and the second for the variances, which requires all five votes in favor.
And so you make a motion for the design, and then do we need a different motion for every variance?
No, we can do all the variances together unless there's some discussion regarding
Where you mentioned you weren't necessarily in favor of the height variance.
Actually, the height is a waiver.
Right, the height, yes, so, it's not a variance.
Okay. And all of the variances are regarding the driveway, is that?
They're regarding the driveway, the depth of habitable space, the location of the driveways in connection to each other, and the setback of the tower due to the carve out of the neighboring site that's not part of the development.
What's the purpose of the habitable depth issue? Why is that a thing?
So that's only something that's in town center that has an actual dimension. So the code, you know, we look at other projects where we require activity along the street front. Mm. We don't specify whether that is 20 feet, 30 feet, 50 feet in the town center due to the larger blocks. That number was put into the code. So it's hard to reach that number once you actually put everything else in place, and especially because of the carve-out of the one parcel here, they're having difficulty meeting that depth. But it will have that activity along the storefront, which is the design intent. So is there a motion for the design?
I'll make a motion to approve the variances.
Let's start with the design first.
I second for the design.
So wait, we need a motion for the design first.
I make a motion for the design.
Okay. I'll second the motion.
And that includes the height up to the 220 feet. And with all the conditions of staff, we're going to add a condition regarding the loading zone wall to continue the same design of the ground floor around to that wall, in addition to the creeping fig. So in case the creeping fig fails, you still have that design that's wrapped around to the loading area.
Michael, there was a concern with the height. I think if this building were in between surrounding buildings or homes, I'd have a problem with the additional 20 feet. The fact that it's facing the park, and that park will never go away, because it's part of your comprehensive plan. So that park is here to stay. I don't have a problem with it. But if you do reduce the 20 feet, is it going to change your design?
Well, I'll try and be brief. I know you're walking out the door. There's three criteria in the code with regard to the height that's very specific. Very few properties can ask for it. It's north of 71st Street of a large assemblage and based on the design merit of the project. So we believe we meet all three criteria. It's different from the other waivers that just kind of put it into the ether and say, you know, you decide. This one has very specific criteria to approve, and I think staff would agree we've met those three criteria here. We're also limiting position of the tower. So this is not a tower that if you go back to the presentation last month where we're wrapping and building it over or around in extended areas, it is limited to just the 72nd Street side in a single tower design. Ray can explain that better than I can.
The building could have been an L shape that wraps to the Carlisle side and also go up, but instead we're making the floor plate smaller and adding the additional height so that we don't have to create an east side tower, and it's only a north side tower. Is that clear?
We had a diagram. Yes, it is important to the client, again, yeah. To your point about the type of product we're building, that extra floor-to-ceiling height is very important to our project.
So what are you guys at your FAR? Are you at your max FAR?
No. We're under.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
I would say, too, for the height of the buildings along this corridor, some of the residents of North Beach are very concerned with the increase in density, the increase in all of these large projects that, as they've gotten higher and higher, it's become more and more controversial. I still don't know, and I know this isn't limited to this project, it's all of the buildings, because the entirety of 71st Street is now going to be large condominiums like this. And so, you know, the traffic already is horrendous, and there's hardly anything on 71st Street. So for those reasons and more, and then I don't think that it's – I'd like to keep height as minimal as possible, and it is our purview to say either way, to grant them yes or no. This doesn't seem a necessity. It doesn't seem like a hardship. It seems like a preference.
Yeah, but yet – as voters, we went in, and this is what we voted for.
Every time there has been a vote to increase FAR, to increase density, the voters have turned it down.
But not
every
in North
single
Beach.
Time.
But not here. They did. They did.
Not,
they approved it. Yes, some
they
areas here.
It in North Beach,
some areas were actually
saying.
Approved to go from 1.25 to 3.5. So this is one of the few.
A very
of the
controversial decision.
But it was.
But yet
it was
approved by the voters. And so what? All I'm saying is I agree with you. I'd hate to see, you know, blocks of cement when I go down 71st Street. But in this case, they didn't wrap up that block of cement all around, you know, to the other areas where they were allowed. It's only in the park area.
In the interest of fairness, I think, so Myra's motion, Orlando's motion, includes the height. So if anybody's not inclined to vote in favor of the height, if you could let us know before we call the motion. Anybody else? Okay, so let's do a roll call for that motion to approve the building with a height of 220 feet. Mr. Comas?
Aye.
Ms. Buttercavoli?
Aye.
Mr. Agopian?
Aye.
Ms. Meyer?
Aye.
Ms. Giller-Nelson?
No.
So that motion does pass 4-1. And now if we get a motion on the variances, and this is there are a total of 5 variances. Is anybody inclined not to vote in favor of the variances? Can I get a motion on the variances?
I get a motion.
I second the motion.
Motion made by Mr. Comas, seconded by Ms. Meyer. All in favor of the variances?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Aye. The motion passes 5-0.
I think we also need to add to the order the comments about the decorative element surrounding the adjacent property.
Yes, we're going to include wrapping around the design to the west.
Thank you very much. Thank you for your time.
And the additional landscaping that Orlando had requested.
Well, they're going to revise the landscape plan or further develop the landscape plan.
Yeah. They will approve it.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, everyone.
So with that, before we break for lunch, let everybody know we are losing one member now, so we do not have a quorum for the applications that include variances. So the board will have to continue DRB 23-0953 for 1960 Normandy Drive and DRB 23-0952 for 4230 North Bay Road. So we will not be able to hear those applications today. After the meeting, after lunch, we will continue back and continue with DRB 23-0954, which is 4510 Prairie Avenue. And after that, we'll move on to DRB 23-0941 for 4410 Alton Road. But just to clarify, 1960 Normandy Drive and 4230 North Bay Road will not be heard today.
Do you need a motion for that, Michael?
We'll take up the motion after we come back from lunch.
Okay.
Thank you.
We'll take a break for 30 minutes.
30 minutes, yeah.
3-2.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to the DRB meeting on November 13th. Because we lost a member of the board, we no longer have a quorum and need to continue two items to the December 11th meeting.
Well, first, let's start with DRB 23-0952. This is for 4230 North Bay Road. Due to, as you mentioned, a lack of a quorum for variances, we'll need to continue this application to the December 11th meeting. Is there any public comment on this application? Can I get a motion for continuance?
I move to continue.
Motion by Mr. Agopian, second by Mr. Comas.
Yeah.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? That item has been continued till December 11th. We do have an additional request for continuance for DRB 23-0941 for 4410 Alton Road. Mr. Larkin?
Yes, Mr. Belush. Thank you. Michael Larkin here representing the applicant at 4410 Alton Road. We're here to request a continuance for the December hearing. This is a short board. We'd like a full board to consider this entire application. So we appreciate a continuance until December. Thank you very much.
Is there any public comment on the request for continuance? I see nobody online or in the chambers. Can I get a motion to
continue?
Motion to continue.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Great. Thank you very much for
your
time.
Can I just ask Mr. Larkin for one favor?
Yes,
I haven't
ma'am.
Seen you in a while.
It's good to see
great.
You.
The owner of this property mm-hmm. currently has a code violation going on that has nothing to do with this board, but it's parking vehicles on the lot. And it's a single-family neighborhood.
Right.
And apparently the city can't get a hold of him or somebody can't get a hold of him. Maybe you are in conversation with him.
Myra, we'll take care of that.
Thank
for
you.
Sure. That's one, and there's two others, and we'll resolve all of them. We appreciate you bringing that to our attention. Thank you.
Thank you.
I think just this gentleman that just walked in, just let him know that the last item on the agenda, 4410 Alton Road, was continued till the December 11th meeting.
Oh, December 11th?
December 11th.
Well, thank God.
Yes.
Just checking. I was ready for
And now the other item that included variances, which is DRB 23-0953 for 1960 Normandy Drive, the applicant would like to give a presentation and get board comment. So after we take up this other application, the applicant for 1960 Normandy Drive is going to give a presentation as a discussion item. But before then, we'll continue with DRB 23-0954 for 4510 Prairie Avenue. Giselle, if you can read that.
The next item on the agenda is DRB 23-0954, 4510 Prairie Avenue. An application has been filed requesting designer review approval for the construction of a new one-story addition to an existing two-story, single-story home, including one or more waivers.
So we should note that the existing house was constructed in 2018. It was in compliance with all code requirements and did not require review by the board. Since that time, the applicant is now requesting a single-story addition to infill the previously required courtyard with a single-story addition in order to expand the kitchen. We had noted to the applicant we had concerns with the blank walls of the long side elevation. So in response to that concern, the applicant is proposing some wood finishes to be added to that elevation to break up sort of that majority of the stucco mass. With that addition, staff is supportive of the requested application, including the design waiver.
And before we proceed, I would like to ask the board whether you received any ex parte communications regarding this case. All right. Okay. You may proceed, and you have 10 minutes for your presentation. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Good afternoon, Design Review Board members. Can you guys see the application on your screen?
The presentation, excuse me?
They'll bring it up. Yeah, we see it.
Thank you. So here we could see it's for application number DRB 23095-4, located at 4510 Prairie Avenue. The first picture is the exterior facade where we'll be doing the construction. It's a much smaller construction. It's 135 square foot rectangular to this two-story addition. I'll just move forward to the next one. You can see better. So I just wanted to start with the aerial context location so you could see a larger view of where it's located. It is located in a residential neighborhood, mostly single-family homes. And just a couple notes for the proposed variance. We're going to be adding a rectangular shape, 15 by 9, roughly 135 square foot. The roof is designed to be a green roof. We're also going to be added installation of we're going to be adding a new window installation. Also, we're going to be creating a wood box and additionally a planter. And then the estimated construction cost has been established to be roughly $150,000. So here we could see pictures from the proposed extension. This is a view from the living room, and we could see that we're going to be adding the window. This is a view from the inside. Adding a window, an additional island, as well as a cooktop in the back. Additionally, this is a view from the dining room where we could see we're going to create a sort of an entrance area coming from the hallway, as well as just refinishing, adding some stone and some wood cabinets. This is just another view. So here we could observe the proposed extension. So we could see that there's going to be the planter, as well as the Ipe wood box. An additional window to add some clarity, as well as Ipe wood to add some aesthetics to the side of the facade, as well as the roof that we could see that's going to have artificial grass, and it's going to be sloped 1/4 inch. It's also going to be combined with some stucco to match the existing of the house, to match the existing house. Here, we recently completed a survey from 2023, just show that we won't the proposed lines are always going to be the same. Nothing is going to change. Everything is going to remain constant. We do respect the 50% rule. We're still lower than that, so we're not adding. It's only for 1% of the property that we're requesting an extension for. I was also able to obtain a letter from the neighbor approving us to perform the extension, and he was completely okay with us doing the work. And we did tell him that we're going to be doing the work, you know, complying to all regulations and rules of the neighborhood. This is the zoning data to show that we're also respecting the 50% rule and all regulations. It was submitted and reviewed, but I'm not sure if you guys want me to go line by line or just keep going. So that's the architectural set of plans. Shows, again, the aerial context location. Here we could see the proposed variance requested with the extension. Like I mentioned, it's a very, very small extension, only 135 square foot. We do believe that the kitchen has not been proportioned to the size of the house. It is much smaller compared to the rest of the house, we can't even have a kitchen table. So it's like, it doesn't really make sense. So that's the existing condition. So all we're really requesting is to simply extend the concrete masonry line instead of having a check. So it's very straightforward. That's more to show the proposed. That's the that's the plan view showing the artificial roof that's going to be sloped. We did add some grass, and we're adding every sort of greenery possible on the side facade, just to make sure to create some aesthetic purposes and also to keep it green. This is the existing home. That's the rear view. That's the proposed site facade where we could once again see the Ipe wood box to create, you know, to make it look more beautiful. The proposed added window, Ipe slats, as well as stucco to blend in and make it look continuous. Side views. That's the 3D rendering where you could observe all we're requesting. Some more side views. That's the existing.
Can you go back? I think it's important. I think the last elevation is what's there right now, right?
Yes.
So you can see that you're adding in the wood trim to soften that.
Yes, correct. Stucco. To show exactly we're going to be adding some value and some, you know, it's going to be much more aesthetic, the side facade, and we're going to respect the property line. Nothing is going to be disruptive. So that's the existing conditions. We could see that there's a simple check that was added, and we just want to make sure we have it continuous and make it blend. That side. Other side views. That's a section view. And that's the site plan. Demolition plan, excuse me. And site plan. This is the homeowner, so he's also a friend of mine, and I'm sure you can understand having a small kitchen and a single family home, how it could create issues for the family, so that's what we're here for, to discuss.
Yeah, I'm here on behalf of my wife and my kids.
Thank you very much. Does that conclude your presentation?
Yes.
Okay.
Very small extension.
Extension. Are there any other public comments?
There's nobody with their hand raised online.
Okay, great. I'm closing the public portion now, opening it up to the board for comment. Does anybody?
Yeah, I mean, projects like this, I kind of feel, you know, I'm sympathetic that you had to come in front of the DRB, but, you know, you were doing something to a project that would have required a waiver. So, but I think what you're doing, the side elevation, is also a good improvement. So you're putting the addition, plus you're doing something else to make the facade look nicer. So I'm happy to support.
Thank you.
Michael, I was reading the front page of this project where it talks about lot size as stated by the applicant. If I can just say, going forward, either the applicant submits a boundary survey or we take the lot size from the property appraisals. In this case, the 12,008 square feet doesn't correlate with it. It's off by small amount, but it's off from what the property appraisal says. Then when I go to lot coverage, I was trying to see an aerial view of the property, of the building, of the home on the property, and I can't see how the lot coverage is only 25.3%. Is that just a portion of the lot? Because it seems that the house itself takes up more than the greenery space seems to be a lot less than the 70%.
Now I'll pull up the plans, but we're relying on what they're telling us in terms of the lot coverage.
Well, it's a small difference of about 100 square feet or whatever, square feet. But when it cut, my bigger question is on and it works against them actually, the 12,008, because according to the property appraisal, it's a little bit more.
We never rely on the property appraisal. Like, that's something we never, ever use. We would use the survey.
Boundary survey?
Yes. And sometimes, I think this is a regular shaped lot, so it's not that difficult to get it. But sometimes we have unusual shaped parcels where there is no other way to calculate it than from a survey.
So in the case of the lot coverage, is the lot coverage of the entire home with the addition that they're requesting approval for 25.3%?
Yes, that's proposed. We can pull up their... Let me pull up the presentation. Hold on. Yes, that's with the addition.
With the addition, the entire home. So there's 70% of pervious area, basically?
No. So in terms of lot coverage, if you have a terrace in your backyard that's within the buildable area of the lot, that doesn't count against you in terms of building lot coverage. In terms of pervious landscape area, we have requirements for pervious landscaping in the front yard of 50% and pervious landscaping in the rear yard of 70%.
And because of the terraces?
That doesn't count against them in terms of the building lot coverage.
Or the garage in the front of the home.
Right. The garage in the front, they get an exception for that's not counted in lot coverage because of the design.
And the area in front of the garage, I'm not sure what that is. It's just blank. Between the sidewalk and the garage, that's also pervious area.
You mean the lawn area?
I don't know if it's lawn. I'm looking at the boundary survey.
If you look at the side plan.
Yeah,
that area is not paved. Yeah, that's shown as lawn in the site plan.
And in the back, only a portion of the pool counts towards lot coverage?
Actually, the pool does not count towards the built-in lot coverage, nor does the pool deck. Only if they had a covered area on the pool deck or within the building envelope would it count in terms of lot coverage.
I'll meet with you afterwards so you can continue educating me.
Yeah,
I just don't see how the cement is less than 30% of the total lot.
We'll verify the numbers again when they come in for building permit, but
no, I'm sure that it's, you know,
they're set back.
I think it's the exceptions, like the garage doesn't get included. The pool doesn't get included. Maybe a patio doesn't get included.
Correct.
For whatever the reason. Yeah. So we end up with really very little green space on a single-family neighborhood.
The only required green space is 50% within the front yard and 70% within the required rear yard, but the pool counts towards that, you know, requirement currently.
Okay.
We are probably going to be revisiting how we calculate lot coverage for the entire site in the near future.
Because when you take out stepping stones and garage and pool and and patios, you end up with no green space.
That's the code.
And that's why we are going to be looking into having a
they need pavers to be able to walk in. They should have a pool.
We're probably going to be having a separate requirement for a site-wide pervious landscaping.
Now, are all these concrete squares and all that existing or not? Supposedly they are, right?
Yeah, it's all there.
Yeah. And the landscaping is existing?
Yes.
So I think this is fairly straightforward.
Right.
I will say I do believe that this niche is a requirement that we see often, and this seems like a very reasonable request. I just worry moving forward, and I guess this will come up when it comes up, is this now going to be the pattern where previous buildings that had to have this cutout for important other reasons, are they now going to come back and say, oh, no, now we want to fill it in? I guess when
it
comes, will come.
Yeah, we've seen it. I've seen it with in applications that do not require a waiver, then it goes to the Board of Adjustment. I've seen those types of variances as well. We can never stop somebody from making an application, so you never know
what
the future holds. Right. But I agree that looking at the original plans, the kitchen that was originally designed for this house was way undersized. My one-bedroom apartment had a larger kitchen.
So does anybody want to make a motion?
Yeah, I move to approve DRB file 23-0954.
And I second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Thank you. Motion passes. Thank you.
Thank you.
So with that, we're going to move to the last application, allow them to give a presentation. I'll read this into the record, but the board cannot take action on it because it does include variances. I'll let Giselle read it into the record.
The final item on the agenda is DRB 23-0953, 1916 Normandy Drive. An application has been filed requesting design review approval for the construction of 5 paddle courts, including variances from the setback requirements for play surfaces, lighting, and fencing on a site containing 3 existing buildings to be retained.
So just for some context, this property is zoned CD1, which is commercial low intensity. And you may remember that this site was before you just over a year ago for a workforce housing development on the site. I believe the owner of the property is exploring increasing the size of that project. But in the meantime, there's a proposal to place these padel courts on the property. Now, although it's zoned commercial, which does allow for 0 setbacks for like a building, the code does require greater setbacks for these types of court games. So for that reason, they're asking for several variances. The first is from the required front setback of 20 feet for the court play surface, as well as for the court fencing. We're asking for a variance regarding the rear setback, which is 7'6" for court play surfaces, and 0 is proposed. And a variance from the setback requirements for light fixtures to allow light fixtures as high as 20 feet within the front yard. Now this, we noted in a report, this property has an existing site wall along the front, as well as landscaping. All that will be retained as part of this development. They will be constructing a parking lot on the east side, and we're just requesting that they utilize pervious pavers for the parking lot and do a continuous curb and have 2 feet of pervious overhang for the landscaping. We are recommending that some of the fencing that is currently chain link be changed, and on the perimeter be changed to aluminum picket. We are supportive of the variance request. I'll let the applicant give the presentation, and the board can provide comments, but because of the variances, we will have to continue this till the December meeting eventually. With that, I'll turn it over to the applicant for their presentation.
Good afternoon. My name is Ana Alzate from Alzate Construction, and I'm the project manager of the project, and he is Sebastian for the owner, so he can explain us a little bit.
Can we see that?
Yes.
Okay. Good afternoon. My name is Sebastian. I'm a Miami Beach resident. I live in 33141. I'm not an expert on doing this kind of presentation with the board, so I'm here because we are working hard on this project since May, and we find a need in the neighborhood to have a padel court. Padel is a new sport in America. It's the fastest growing sport in America, and right now Miami Beach residents had to commute about an hour to find a never available padel court in Miami area. There are only 34 courts available and only 6 clubs available. So there is a need. That's why we are working hard on developing this sport. This sport can be practiced by everybody, from age 5, 6, to elderly adults over 80 years. So this will provide healthy habits to the community. This will convert what is right now an empty lot in the area that the previous developers were talking about, where there is much developers being built and the need for sport is always a good idea. Sure. So let me show you a little bit of the presentation we prepared. Padel was created like 50 years ago, but never was introduced in the United States. This year, the National Padel League was created. And again, there is a high demand of padel courts. There is no availability at all. And for example, I live in 33141, and I have to travel to Miramar to play padel. So it's insane. Having a facility in the neighborhood will be, I think it will be good for the community. Padel is a mix between tennis and pickleball. For sure you heard pickleball is growing up a lot too. Paddle is similar, but it's more like a sport that can be considered on the Olympics in the next few years because it's becoming around the world one of the most, fast-growing sports. This can be played by everybody, and it's really easy to play after a few classes. You take a few classes, and you will be playing it. Again, there are no paddle facilities. Commuting is really hard. Only 34 courts in the Miami area, only 6 clubs, and the demand is higher than the courts available. One block from the empty lot that we found, there is the Normandy Park, where we have soccer courts, basketball courts, swimming pool, all with lighting much higher than the lighting that we are proposing. And the neighborhood already have a facility like the one we want to have, so they are already used to have these things. Again, it's zoning commercial, and it's in front of a Walgreens 24 hours. So it will not be disturbing anybody. This is the project we have. There will be no facade modification, no trees will be removed or modified, no buildings will be demolished, no building will be modified. As Michael said, there was a previous project for this address that was already approved for a building. Means that I'm working with the owner who is trying to make a lease with me, but there is it's time sensitive because at some point the owner will decide to build the previously approved project of the houses, the 3-4 building. Familiar building. So it's time sensitive because the contract that I'm building with him is till he decides to build a previous project. No entrance will be modified. There is no disturbance at all in noise or light. And again, this lot is semi-abandoned, and it was for years. Now we are trying to build something that the community will get benefit. This is the project that we are proposing with 5 paddle courts, the parking lot in the east, and all the buildings will remain existing. There will be no modifications at all. This is the west view. This is the entrance. When you get to the parking lot, everything will remain the same, only the courts will be set over the existing asphalt. Again, a few details on the benefit for the residents. We can save time commuting. We can propose membership for residents, discounted membership for them, engage parents and children. We even can make arrangement to use the blackout hours we have in the afternoons for city use or schools, build healthy habits, again, as I say, and the residents will be able to arrive by bike, walking. The trolley goes on the same Normandy Drive, so you will be able to get to the club anyway. It's easy to enjoy the game. It's easy to play. Anybody can play. I mean, this is not restricted to age or anyone. Anyone can play the sport. As I said before, it's growing a lot worldwide. America is just getting into this sport and already has a National Paddle League. And, as a conclusion, the sport grew a lot. The sport provides engagement. Anyone who plays one time wants to keep playing, keep training, provide healthy habits. Having this in the neighborhood with all the developments that we are having, like 72 Park, Shoma, Continuum Condo, Monaco Residences, and the one that we have a few minutes ago, we will be able to provide a sport to play for all those new residents. And again, the sport will be surpassing flagship sports like tennis. It's growing a lot in the world and a lot in the States. That's a quick presentation so we can prepare for December.
Thank you very much. Any members of the public wishing to speak?
There is nobody online with their hand raised.
Closing the public portion, opening it up for discussion. Does anybody have any questions or concerns about this?
So eventually the housing will get built on this property, you think?
Yes. The owner is building a contract where we are not scheduling, but in a five-year contract, depending on the year that he wants or decide to build the courts, will kind of compensate us for leaving the contract early. So that's why time is sensitive. We started a long time ago with the project, and we keep trying to hold the landlord to not rent to anyone else.
I see. And then, Michael, just in general, like when they go to get their building permit for this, they're going to have to comply with all like drainage and lighting,
yeah, they're gonna have
foot
to do
candles,
drainage, lighting,
and
yep. Exactly.
The buildings, if they're going to occupy the buildings, like I see one building here says bathroom, one says reception, they're going to need to be accessible and
correct,
be
yes.
conditioned. And
yes.
And then any variances that we pass, does that then apply to the next structure?
No, this only applies to this project and the court games itself. And just so the board knows, we've had several requests from rooftop parking garages to do the same thing. So we're going to see more applications for these types of court games and people trying to utilize existing open surfaces to do something similar. So this is the first one you're seeing here, but there's going to be more based upon discussions that we've seen with other property owners.
Yeah, our aim was to be the first padel courts in Miami Beach.
You probably
and we are trying to do our best to get
well,
them.
It seems like if it's so popular, you're not going to have much to worry about.
No,
you know,
no,
there's
no.
a lot of interest.
Yes.
And Michael, what's the light pole height that is allowed by code, I guess.
10 feet.
10 feet.
And we also noted in terms of our hours, closing at 9 o'clock. So we think that's what we're okay with the higher light poles, provided that hours. If you guys can work with that hour.
Yes. Honestly, most of the clubs that are on Miami-Dade, they close 9:30, but the people remain inside till the end. Playing. That could be around 10:30.
So, because we do have residential across the street and to the east, so I thought that 9 o'clock would be reasonable for that.
I know that people have complained about pickleball being loud. The ball is okay. This a similar,
it's,
or is it softer? A softer ball.
It's softer because the ball is like tennis, and also because of its play inside.
Cage.
Yes, it's like a cage, so the noise is kept there. The same with the lighting. The lighting is directed into the court.
Did you have a chance to read the review? I know that staff made some very good points. I'm certainly in support of them. It was about the operational time, the light poles.
Yes.
Do you agree or that you'll change the color of the light pole and the operation?
The light poles, what I noticed, I live close to the facility, so I try to go frequently. So I noticed that they have poles over 20 feet. Also, as I say, in the Normandy Park, they have poles that are like 50 or 60 feet. I didn't measure them. And again, the Normandy Park is also in front of neighborhood residences. So I honestly don't think that the 20 feet of the lighting poles directed inside the court could affect outside, because also within the limits of the property, there are palm trees. So that will, there is a 6 feet concrete
fence,
plus there are palm trees. We will not remove anything, so that will contain the lighting. Like buffering, not only light, buffering also the sound.
And the walls around the courts are kind of like plastic. They're see-through.
It's
you see through it.
It's not like acrylic glass.
Because yeah. you play off the wall too.
Yeah, it's
right?
Like racquetball, but it's kind of clear right. And outside. Okay.
That can be removable at
so
any
we had,
time.
We had recommended certain hours. Now we did indicate a progress report. So we do think that like 90 days after operation, you would come back to the board for a progress report. We would listen to any sort of complaints or concerns with anybody who shows up, and the board could modify the hours of operation at that time, whether it's to extend them later or to cut them short. But I thought 9 o'clock was a good point to start.
And it's that court number 5 that's the 1 foot away from the property line, the one that's on the alley, right? Is that the
concern? Yeah, and that's really not a concern because that's abutting commercial to the south,
right. Yes.
An alley to the south. So we don't have any concern with that.
Michael, the project of the workforce housing project that was approved a year ago now, is this going to stall that project at all?
My understanding is that the developer is working to modify the project based upon recent state legislation that would allow him to increase the number of workforce housing units on the property.
So he's pending state legislation?
Well, there's state legislation that happened already. My understanding, he's going to be revising the project. I haven't spoken to anybody. That's my understanding, most likely what's going to happen. So he will have to come back to the board, or maybe even not have to come back to the board, depending on the state requirements and how this is reviewed, and maybe something that's just reviewed internally. But so at that point, right, it's not – ultimately it's up to the property owner to move forward with that application. We can't tell him to do it, but it was a good workforce housing application that was really reviewed and welcomed by the board in the
past.
And
we can't demand that it be workforce housing.
Right, no, he could come back.
As a city, the city can't, because it's private property, right. So it's up to him.
He could come back and say, we're going to do a luxury housing development here next month. So
this may delay the project, then it may not, because...
Right now it's an empty site.
It's an empty site.
I would like to see when they come for building permit documents. The landscape plan really doesn't show what's there, except for the sable palms and the oaks. It doesn't show any of the shrubs existing. And so it is fine the way it is. You just have to show it. One area that concerns me is the south side, which is actually a street. It's not an alley. And there's nothing... proposed for that area as far as privacy.
But it is an alley.
It's
an alley.
In the plans, it's called the court.
It's used as an alley, not a traffic.
I think it's only 20 feet wide, so I think it's function and used as an alley.
But anyways, it's an awful look, And when you're playing in the courts, you don't want to be looking at the back of all those buildings. So you should need some type of a landscape buffer in the back.
Is there even going to be room for any landscaping in the back?
They would have to move the courts.
Yeah.
And the buildings.
And the buildings that are there.
Can they plant on the right of way?
Yeah. If there's room in the right of way, and the city allows.
There's plenty of room to
outside of the property
to plant in coordination with
that
the
would
public
be,
works.
That would really be up to public works, because some of that alleys sometimes are used for garbage collection, deliveries. So planting on the right of way, and there may be utilities back there as well.
South, there are all commercial properties. There is a dry cleaning, a laundry, a coffee.
There's no power lines or anything like that.
Not in the back.
No. And actually, it has a paved surface.
Yeah, the other issue that was raised in the report was all the use of artificial turf versus permeable pavers. I don't know you have a thought. I mean, this seems to me like a transitional use of this space, that they want to activate it temporarily. So I don't know if we need to have such in-depth expenditures to beautify.
There is artificial turf that is permeable available, so they could use that.
Right, that's what I'm just asking, that they use, if they use artificial turf that's permeable.
Yeah. Yes, and I check permits on other similar developed paddle courts, paddle clubs in Miami-Dade, and the report that they are giving is that the court doesn't change the drainage, the existing drainage, that it's exactly the same.
Yeah, that's one thing that the built-in department will look at in terms of the drainage to make sure it complies with the requirements.
Yeah, I think you'll run into some, I mean, I think there'll be some challenges when you go get your permit, because even though this is a transitional use, which might be a few years, maybe longer, they are going to they're going to look at it like it's you're doing it new. And so when this turf is shown, this whole thing is paved right now with asphalt.
Yeah.
So you might think, we're just going to put the turf on top of the asphalt. But they're going to look at this from a drainage standpoint. I don't know how the site is drained right now. Most likely, it's not. So you're going to have to, they're going to require you, I think, to do quite a bit of work, even though you see it mostly as just plopping the courts down, and you're going to still have to comply with regulation and access to the parking and all the right lighting all over the whole site in general. And so just be prepared, right?
Most likely you're going to need a civil to...
Yeah. You'll have to have a civil engineer work on the... I'm just saying it's... You know, you get going.
Yeah, we already retain.
Yeah.
The most important thing for us right now, for the owner, is to at least know that the use is going to be approved. So we can at least use this month to forward a little bit the precisely those studies with the engineering and all of them. So
I don't think you've heard any negative comments. But I think everybody's supportive of...
I think personally, especially if you adhere to, I do think you do need to be sensitive to the hours of operation, because this is technically a residential zoning, not commercial. But I think as long as you're sensitive to the hours of operation and the lighting, I don't think we have a problem with that. I would recommend before you come back in December to come up with a different lighting as recommended by staff.
I'm not a super expert, but this type of lighting is kind of comes with the courts because they are absolutely
focused on that.
So they it's not like the stadiums that illuminate the whole thing. No, it's like very focused, very specific.
Yeah, I think we're just asking for the color. We don't want to see green.
Oh, I'm sorry. You mean the pole painted differently?
Black or silver, yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
Black is fine. I mean, I don't even know if that was...
No.
Yeah, okay. So, I'm sorry. You were referring to just the color of the pole.
Yes, that's what staff was concerned.
Yes, we can paint it black or whatever it is.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I was thinking about it.
It was just we choose between many colors, and we choose that one. But if it's not fit, we can paint it. Not a problem to paint it.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
There are courts that have it in
pink,
red, orange, many colors.
Well, I think this was just an advisory.
Yes.
So do you feel satisfied?
We are satisfied. I mean, are you okay?
Yeah.
Sorry?
Are you okay with...
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry. Sorry. Go ahead.
No, I just wanted to know that we plan to move forward in terms of hiring the engineering for the everything. But I cannot advise him unless we have a little bit of support. So.
Yes. Basically, we are trying to get the approval for the use, knowing that it will be allowed in order to start. We already have spoken with everyone that needs to be in the project, but as we are not
moving forward,
we don't have a backup of many investors or a big project. It's I can say that it's a small project, and before engaging everybody, we wanted to know that actually the use can be approved.
We don't approve the use, though.
No, the use of
they're allowed.
Right, but of course, if you denied the variances, then yes, it would fairly limit the use. But I think from the direction here, everybody here is supportive. You need one more person next yeah. month. Okay. You need to have five members in support.
Yeah. So there's no guarantee. There's two people, three people that are not here right now.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
We don't know what they. We all do our own thing. So.
Okay.
We seem, you know, but
looks
you
fine,
actually
but
need.
Okay.
Five.
Thank you. I okay, appreciate so, the comments. And
so
the
it could be worse, I think. Yeah. Yeah. I think it's been, this has been good for you, I
you
think.
You can't do any better than what you got.
Yeah.
So. Okay, thank you.
With that, we do need to take formal action here. So if I can get a motion to continue this to the December meeting.
Motion to continue to December meeting.
Thank you so much.
Second by Mr. Comas. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion is continued till December. It'll be towards the beginning of the agenda now in December.
Thank you so much. You. Really appreciate your time.
Yeah.
Thank you.
We've come to the end. I'd like to. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Yeah.
Okay. Yay. See everybody in December.
And again, that is Monday, December 11th, starting at 9 a.m.